So it's called what? Air Force 1-2. Yeah, that's good. And they take over the plane again, right? Great, I love it. As long as I can make the deal. Come in. Kenny, kennel up. What are you doing here, you son of a bitch? Oh, cut the shit. You think you can walk in here and say you're sorry after what you did? I'm done with that Star Wars crap, and I'm done with you. Haven't you heard? I'm in Cowboys and Aliens. Daniel Craig's my Wookiee bitch now. Get the hell out of here. Out! Get out! Out of here! Get out! I don't want to talk to you. Get out of here. And don't come back. She was my wife! She's still spitting up hairballs!
Listening to Nowhere on Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find her.
Birdman. Oh, now you like the bird. Is that right? Is that your bird? I'm confused. You said it wasn't, but now it looks like you're best of pals. You love that bird, don't you? You know what? Take the bird.
Hey!
Take his pillows, too. Both of them. And his shoes. Take his shoes. I took your stuff. How's that make you feel? You feel bad? Good. Because that's how I feel. We had a contract. I save your life, and you give me suits. That was our deal. And you did not deliver. I don't know if you're a genius or a fraud. I don't know what you are. Something really, really great fell into my lap. And if it hadn't, I'd be at your mercy tonight. Now I have a piece of Stark tech that I pimped out myself. And now you're overpriced paperweights, so you look like a backdrop to my demonstration. And you dig what I'm getting at here?
Shlishka mnogo govorish.
I don't know if you know this, but I don't speak Russian! I'm gonna leave now. And I'm gonna go to the expo. Maybe I'll even get laid. You see, these guys, they're your babysitters. They are not to be trifled with. When I get back, we're going to renegotiate the terms of our agreement. And you're going to make good on our arrangement. Because if you don't, you're going to be exactly what you were when I found you. A dead man. You got that? Maybe you can watch me on TV.
Body?
Yes!
Impossible! Now go to sleep! Go to sleep!
Get your ass up here and call the police, because there's a dead body in my bed, and it smells like shit, and it looks even worse. And if you don't help us, my dad is going to lay you down right next to her. I swear to fucking God!
I am coming up there right this minute, and if there is not that body in that room by the time I get up there, I'm going to make one! You!
This is bullshit, man.
The long arm of the law has embraced our dear friend Warren.
Come on. Lucas, I
take care of yourself, Warren. Don't let the man get you down.
I don't want to see you back in the store, Warren.
Bye, Warren.
I'm going to get you. I'm not playing this time. I'll be back and you'll be sorry. You're going to pay for this. You'll be sorry.
I'm already sorry.
Yeah. I'm not sorry. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's time for Nowhere Mulberry. Yeah, Nowhere Mulberry. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. We're back after, I think it was 2 weeks off or something like that.
Feels like forever.
It does. I was trying to remember how to do the show. Basically, it's all about pacing, getting the show done. And I was like, I'm not going to make it. And every time, like, someone calls on the phone, I just want to answer and go, I don't know who this is, but you're slowing me down, man. But, hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I am the J-Strom. We also have here PCZ Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Hello.
How's it going, Steven?
Good.
We also have here Mulberry Bill. How's it going, Bill?
Greetings.
Greetings and salutations, buddy. And unfortunately, Laura couldn't join us this week. So we'll see you hopefully next week, Laura. We miss you. Laura, the Nym Fitness guru.
I think she's in the chat room.
Hope you're staying in shape, Laura. Lots of exercising
she's
and stuff.
She's exercising right now.
Yeah.
She's got the bike that pedals to keep her computer going.
She actually, this is a...
I need that.
In my living room, I have Laura's stationary bike. She loaned it to me because I wanted to start exercising and getting into shape. And during our whole break, I'm on a health kick. I've actually started eating healthy food and exercising, and I'm not the same Jason. I don't know what happened to him, but it's kind of insane, actually, that when I thought about it. Because we even, over the break, we went to San Antonio, we went to SeaWorld, which was awesome, mm-hmm. And I was thinking, how am I going to eat right while on vacation? That's like an excuse to eat horrible, right?
You can eat Shamu.
Yeah, you could eat
fish.
Whale blubber, and I don't think it's very good for you, but it tastes delicious. And it powers, I think, lanterns and stuff, too.
Yeah, it does. It keeps the light on.
But there are plenty of ways to eat healthy. Like, I ate a lot of, grilled chicken salad and stuff like that. So
it's all about nutrient density.
Right, and taking in less sugar.
Yes.
And what was funny is I was like, well, I'm not really getting any exercise, but little did I know that 2 days at SeaWorld, that's a lot of exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, walking a lot. And the first day we were in the water park area, and we had an appointment where we get to go feed dolphins and pet them and see them up close and stuff. But we probably should have made it on the day we were walking around the park and seeing the attractions and stuff. So I was walking in flip-flops clear across the park. You know, I was like, I don't ever walk in flip-flops. You know,
no.
This is just so... And by the time we got there, we were exhausted because it was like a mile hike. I don't know how far it was, but it felt like forever. And by the time we got back to the pool, then it was like, oh. And another thing about water park type things, when there's too many people, I don't want to get in the water anymore.
They're not fun.
Yeah, it's just too many friggin' people. Like, Emma wanted to go in the lazy river area. I was like, that's not the lazy river. That's like the crowded river. You know, it's impossible.
That's a traffic jam lane.
It's impossible to do
the
anything.
The yellow river now.
It's inner tube to inner tube.
Yeah, and I kept getting bumped in the head by inner tubes and
stuff. Someone's foot up your nose.
Because it's also, it's got a current. So you can't, just stand still without being pushed. So I was like, let's get the hell out of here, man. And I took her to the kiddie area for like little babies, and it's like, you know, 1 inch deep water. And I was like, ah, here you go. Come play over here. Come play with the babies.
Like, I can't do the lazy river because I always think the lazy river, you know, there's people sitting in those inner tubes, and the only part of their body that's in the water is their ass.
Right.
So it's just like ass water. It's this ass water
river. But it also
river.
Seems, if you're on
like,
an inner
lazy,
tube.
But I'm not that lazy.
I couldn't ride on an inner tube because it's so hot and sunny. You're just going to roast, you know.
Yeah.
You got to stay under the water. And I did the every time we've gone to a water park, I come home horribly sunburned. It's like sunscreen doesn't work on me or something. So I got like a 85, whatever you call it. What do they call it?
Is that one from RoboCop 2?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I go, I'm going to get the strongest I can find. I do not want sunburn. And I put it everywhere. I was even rubbing it through my hair trying to get it on top of my scalp, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I still burnt a little, but not too bad. And so I was happy about that.
I don't know if you saw, but here recently on the news, they got to take away that SPF rating and quit guaranteeing X amount of time because they're saying it doesn't work. Those are all lies.
I reapplied it all day long.
That's what they're telling you. It's like just reapply like every hour.
Yeah, because I was like,
we need a cabana boy to just keep putting it on.
I was like, we got to come back tomorrow, and I don't want to be all sunburned and walking in the sun again. So the second day was a lot of fun, and we got to see the whale shows, but it was hot as hell. And what we did on the second day was planned gift shop to gift shop. Like, you look at the map and go, the gift shops are air conditioned, so we're going to go see Shamu, and there's a gift shop here, so we're going to walk from this gift shop to that one and cool off again and then go. And
nice.
That was our strategy, and it helped a lot. And we bought one of those fans that it's like a spray bottle with a fan on it.
Sweet.
That saved our lives because it was like, oh, and you have to go. That really helped a lot. But it was pretty fun and stuff like that. Did you guys
have fun? So you got these. Was the Shamu thing under one of those like big canopy type things?
Right.
Or?
Yeah. Those are all the cool areas. I mean, temperature-wise, because they have them covered, so it's like, oh, safe haven for a while. And then you got to walk somewhere in the hot sun, and then you're dying again. You're turning into a raisin.
Yeah, I never thought
that. Did they have a walrus that spit at you?
I never saw any walruses.
No, I remember when I was a kid, that
Maybe
was the big
did.
Thing. It wasn't Shamu. It was the walrus that spit at people in the front rows.
Yeah, it's all about splashing on people. But when we went to see the dolphins up close, they showed us some sea lions, and that was pretty awesome.
Oh, I love sea lions.
And, you know, they have, like, it's in the back of the park, like way in the back where they have these water tanks and stuff where they live, and they're not part of the attractions yet, or they're training them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool, but it was all
Is
on concrete.
Is that where the dolphins were, too?
Yeah.
You fed?
Everything's on concrete slab, though, as you're walking, so it's just, like, amplifying heat, you know?
It's so weird that they have all these animals together, like sea lions and killer whales. Their food supply, the sea lion for the killer whale.
Yeah. And all
God forbid they let them loose at the same time in the tank.
All the people that we dealt with, like SeaWorld people, like the tour guide stuff, they're all like so tanned. I was like, how are you not going to get skin cancer working here? Because they're all like very dark skin. They've just been in the sun for years
and
years.
In the future, they're going to use me for a belt.
Yeah, totally.
Look like the landlord from Kingpin.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Ugh. Too scary. But other than that, you know, everything was fun. That was cool. Stuff like that. And so we're back to doing the show, guys. And one thing that was funny is when you get back, you see all the shows that are piled up on the DVR. Like, holy shit, how many Hell's Kitchens do I have? How many Master Chefs? How many Rocco's Dinner Parties do I have? How many
Fast
cake
forward.
Bars?
Fast
and,
forward.
You know what? The most ridiculous is Big Brother. I'm like, I'm not watching all these, and I'm going to watch like the two most recent ones, okay? Because I can't.
Or you
can
watch the last.
Well, they
10
recap
minutes.
Almost the entire last episode at the beginning of the.
Yeah, I can't
the
watch.
Next one, so.
I'm not going to watch 16 Big Brothers, Bill. You know.
Or you watch the first 10 minutes of every episode, so you know what happened on the previous one.
Right. Dun dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I really don't watch the CBS show. I just watch the feeds.
Right. I watched the CBS show just to kind of get – it's like to get caught up, like if you haven't been watching it lately.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So we'll talk about all those cool shows in a bit here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
If I drop out, it's the thunderstorm that's going on right now. So.
Oh, shit. Well, Bill, let's start off with some voicemails. We have a Sean voicemail and a Rick voicemail. Let's play Sean's first. Hey, Sean, how is it going? Good to hear from you.
Hey, Mulberry, it's Sean in Los Angeles. Just wanted to send a quick voicemail. If you guys have a show tonight, saying welcome back. Can't wait to listen to it. The last show had that clip from that that dating show where the couple was going over the Temple of Doom Bridge and the guy let out his girl screaming. I was at the gym when I was listening to that, and even though Jason warned me or warned us that he was going to play the girly scream, I thought, oh, I can take it, I can take it. So I was lifting something, and sure enough, when the scream got let out and you guys started laughing, I almost crushed my head with a dumbbell, and I almost died.
Oh, my God.
Not the first time it's happened listening to your show, so I guess I should have known better. But, yeah, the episode was great. Hope you guys have been having a good summer break in between the shows, between the episodes. And if you guys do a show tonight, have a great one. If not, enjoy more of your break. And whenever your next show is, make that one a great one. All right. Talk to you guys later. Love you. Bye.
Well, thank you, Sean. It's good to hear from you. And be careful listening to the show. I don't want you to hurt yourself.
We got a new tagline, the world's most dangerous podcast.
I love that.
Love the echo they put on that.
And then he falls to his death, unfortunately. Now, we also have a voicemail from Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys, it's Rick here, driving at night in the rain. Keep your eyes on the road or get hit by a truck.
Oh, my God.
That's some dangerous stuff. Probably shouldn't be on the, you know, sending my voicemail. Make it even more complicated than it needs to be. Silly Rick. Man, what will I do with you, mate? I don't know.
We're going to come down.
See, I'm constantly distracted because I'm trying not to crash while talking. But, yeah, great show last week. Yeah. Actually, I am trying not to crash. So, just bear with me. All right. Yeah, I'm out of the woods now. I'm fine. Everything's clear ahead. Oh, what the crap? Oh, it's just a possum. It's just a possum. It's all right. So, anyway, I'm moving tomorrow. Moving house. Yeah, that's going to be fun. But actually,
moving
it will
house,
be because
I like that.
I'm the most organized person on the planet. Like, lately, I've helped a couple of friends move. And I rock up. And the house looks exactly the same as it normally does. Why haven't you put everything in a box? What? You're moving today? What?
Is
this the first time you've ever moved?
You're
supposed to pack stuff into boxes. So anyway, I'm organized, and that's all that matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters.
Oh, God.
Oh, God damn it.
Focus, Rick. You're driving.
So, I've been watching Game of Thrones lately. Why aren't you guys talking about that? Because it's not bad. And you guys do watch
some
shit stuff. Why not? Game of Thrones. It's all right. It's kind of like Spartacus in the fact that it's gory and sexy. So I figured, you know,
Sold.
You might have gotten into it, I guess. Anyway, have a good show. Just a crappy voicemail this week, just like usual. Love you guys.
Rick.
And talk to you. This is Rick from Australia. And I'm trying to press pause and not crash.
Ah, very dangerous, Rick.
That didn't sound that bad.
Yeah, he's fine. It's just a fender bender. Game of Thrones, Bill, I have not seen a single episode of it.
No excuse!
But I can watch all of it, though.
No excuse.
It's all on video. It's not an excuse. It's just it's on video on demand, and I'll get a chance to watch it and catch it.
No, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
really
I mean,
good.
It sounds like the whole country fell in love with it.
Yeah, I missed and I'm really it good when it about started. HBO
and Peter Dinklage is so good. He's really used to his ability on it.
I love Peter Dinklage. Sweet. Yeah, that's. Trust me, I want to watch it, and I will. And we'll talk about season two. How about that? Huh?
That
would be good.
It's going to have dragons.
Not being used to my ability.
Ah, good old Peter Poor Dinklage Peter. There. Now, when he was talking about helping someone who is you're helping them move and they haven't packed, that's happened to me before. Like, I've even been told by a friend, like, get here, like, real early or whatever, like 6 a.m. and whatever. And I've done that where I go knock on the door. Why isn't anyone answering? What the hell? And it's like, answer the door. Oh, hey. Oh, man, I'm still sleeping. So you walk in and it looks like they just live there and they're not getting ready to move at all. That's when it's time to leave.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I'm sorry. I'll come back later.
I've helped my sister Vanessa move so many times that finally the last time she moved, I was like, I'm done. I'm not helping
anymore. Was that
when
I helped?
Yeah. You've helped Vanessa move several times. Like, I've dragged you to it. Steve and I moved
piano.
Steve and I moved to piano. This is one. Luckily, Vanessa was moving.
Upright piano. But
she was moving down the street, Bill.
So you rolled the piano down the road?
Yeah, we were going down the sidewalk. Yeah, on a dolly. Like, oh, like. Oh.
Every time you hit the bump, dink.
Yeah. And you see people just watching me. Why those guys are walking down the street with a piano?
Where are those
guys
thieves?
Going to piano?
So my advice to anyone who needs help moving or any friends that ask you, have plans that week.
Yeah, there was nothing packed.
Yeah, know. That was a disaster. That was a nightmare.
It's only four houses down.
But so you're just going to carry the individual items.
But I'll help you guys move whenever you want. How's that? I'll
be there really hate moving.
Yeah, moving sucks. Now, guys, let's go ahead and check out entertainment. Why don't we? There's a lot of movies and stuff, and let's check them out. All right. Entertainment! All right. We've all seen movies, right?
Movies?
Movies?
What are these things you speak of?
Hey, you guys like movies over here? Hey! We've seen lots
of
movies.
Them talking pictures?
I saw Winnie the Pooh on my vacation.
No, you did?
What else did I see? I saw like three movies in a row.
I wanted to see Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, it was great. I saw it with my wife and my daughter in a theater that was nearly empty.
Harry Potter?
Oh, that's terrible.
I did see Harry Potter. I enjoyed that. And I saw Captain America. Enjoyed the hell out of that. But I also saw Bill... I know probably people want us to talk about those a little bit, but I watched a documentary on Netflix called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
And I know you watched it too. Laura's the one who told me to watch it. She was like, I watched this. It was really inspirational or whatever. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm trying to, you know, become healthy. And it's a daily struggle with how you eat and everything. I think I've got the hang of it now. It just, you got to get into a routine. And I am very routine oriented. Like, I have to have a routine. And
no, I'm not.
To keep
That's
going.
Why it's tough for me.
And, well, once I get on the routine, then I'm good. And I have been really good about it. And then I watched this film, this documentary, this guy from Australia, Bill.
Australia?
What was his name? Joe? I think.
Yeah, Joe Cross.
He narrates it, and he also has little animated things that kind of remind me of Morgan Spurlock, how he had, like, cartoons and the McDonald's Super Size Me thing. And it was about him. He's out of shape, and he has, like, this skin disease where whenever – it made it sound like, Bill, when someone touches him, he'll have a breakout or something.
Yeah.
His body responds to things like mosquito bites almost, and it's real itchy – and stuff, and he's been suffering through that. He's on a lot of prescription medication, and I guess I might have not paid attention to the part where he comes up with the idea. I guess he's talking to his doctor, or he gets suggestion from a nutritionist on going on this juice fast.
You know what? It's really strange. I don't remember.
I don't remember how
that connection was made.
So he's like,
I know it involved that Joel Fuhrman, that Dr. Fuhrman.
Right. Maybe Joel, he talked to him about it. But basically, the guy is, you know, he's a successful businessman, but he's slowly killing himself over the way he eats and with his prescription medication that he hates taking. What does he take? Like prednisone or something?
Prednisone, yeah. It's a steroid. And it so makes that's him, for
I don't know
reactions.
How, he's made it sound like it made him feel like shit. Like
I'm sure it did.
And so he goes on this juice fast where he's going to drink nothing but it's going to be vegetable and fruit juice, right? Put into a juicer, a juicer, mate.
Juicer. I love I've the got a juicer in the back of my car.
And he is living off of juice like all day long. You know, it doesn't, he can drink as, it makes it seem like he drinks it whenever he's hungry, basically.
Yeah.
And he's decided
but
to,
it's real juice. It's fresh juice.
Yeah. It's not like,
not condensed sweetened shit thing, that you buy in the grocery store.
When Laura, when I asked for help from Laura on things, she gave me a book to read and it, helped me with nutrition. It says, stay away from juice. And I'm like, juice? I thought juice was healthy.
It's all sugar.
Right. If you look at the back, it says like 23 grams of sugar. So basically, yeah, sure. It has apple in it, but it also has a shitload of sugar.
Well, all fruits have lots of sugar in them.
No, no. Like not natural sugar that's in the fruit, you know, that's fine. Added
sugar. High fructose corn syrup, right. Added sugars.
And
yeah.
So this guy, he's making his own juice that he has every day. And he's like, now I could eat all these vegetables, mate. And he's got this giant plate. This is what I eat on a daily basis.
Normally, I eat a wallaby.
But he's like, I couldn't eat all this. You know, it's a lot of vegetables and fruit. So I mix it down into this drink and I drink it. And he decided to go on vacation in America and kind of like travel around. The guy also is rich, which probably doesn't hurt. He has
a
lot of money.
Ridiculously rich, apparently, because he's like, I think he's an entrepreneur that invests in all kinds of shit.
Yeah. So he's driving around and he's got his juicer and he's talking to people and he's telling people, you know, this is what I do. I, you know, I'm going on this juice fast and I'm trying to lose weight and get healthy.
I'm going to put my cucumber in the juicer.
But the one thing, Bill, I do notice is he starts having a glow about him. He really does start looking like healthy over time. Mm-hmm. He starts looking.
His skin goes from pale to kind of like pinkish orange.
Yeah, and he's just like glowing with life energy, you know? And he's going around talking to these people. My favorite moment is he goes into a gun shop, Bill. And there's this big old fat guy. He's like loading his bullet cartridges or whatever.
He's cleaning his guns.
He's got his giant 3-gallon Coke next to him, slipping on. And he goes, now, what would you say the biggest threat to Americans is? And he's like, borders. It's got to be borders.
Them damn Mexicans going to kill us all.
And he's like, what if I told you it was fast food? And he's like, you know, sipping on his drink. He's like, yeah, I could see that. He's like, I don't much care about home cooking no more since I retired. We eat out a lot and stuff. And
hold on, let me take a bite of this Wendy's classic triple. Yeah.
I just love that. What do you think the biggest threat to Americans is? And he's like, the borders.
Borders.
Like something, you know, any reason for him to have a gun is what it is. He's like, no, actually, it's your food that you're shoveling in your gob, dude. So it's great. It's really entertaining.
This food don't got no gun. It ain't Mexican.
But the documentary I thought was really entertaining, Bill, how he's you slowly see the progress in his body as he's drinking this, right?
Yeah.
And he starts looking great. And at one point, he's a truck stop, and he meets this guy, Phil, this big truck driver guy. And he's kind of like walking along. And he's like, hey, can I talk to you a bit? And he goes, I'm on this juice fast and I suffer from the skin disease. And the guy's like, I got a skin disease too. It's called so-and-so. And he goes, that's the same exact skin disease I have. I'm the first person I met with it. He's like, oh,
let's hug and break out.
He's like, wow, it took a truck stop in Arizona for me to meet somebody who has the same skin disease I do. And he's like telling him like, yeah, I've lost this much weight doing the thing, doing my juice fast. And here, I'll make you one. And he drinks it. And, you know, the guy is kind of just standing there listening to him mostly. He doesn't really talk much. And he just says, yeah, I'm real unhappy with, you know, my life. And this makes me feel like crap and stuff. So he goes, well, if you ever need help, give me a call. So anyway, the documentary goes on after that. And he goes back to Australia and people at work are telling him how he has new life and he pays more attention. It's almost like his brain activity is better. And he goes back to solid food. And it's funny, the first thing he eats is an apple, you know, after he's gone 60 days on nothing but juice. And he bites the side of his cheek and he goes, oh, I'm out of practice. I thought that was great. And so anyway, his life is going on. He's jogging on the beach. And he's like talking about how his life turned around. And until one day I got this voicemail. I don't know why I'm not making fun of the guy. I just love his voice. And
it's infectious.
It is. I love one guy. He goes, man, you sound like Russell Crowe or something. He goes, really, Mike? But I can't act like him. But he gets a voicemail. It's from the truck driver. He's like, yeah, I hate my life. I really need help. Maybe you could help me some. He's like,
and I kind of hate you too.
He's like, oh no, I got to help Phil. So he flies back to America and he like gets him. The first thing he does, did you see the depressing house he lived in?
Yeah.
And he's like, we're going to get you into this vacation resort. And he gets him like in his nice lakeside bungalow. And he goes, you're going to go on a 10-day fast. Can you just give me 10 days? He's like, yeah, okay. And he's gets him set up and he's like, all right, I got to go. And I hope you're going to do okay. And I got the feeling that Joe kind of paid for his whole stay there.
Yeah, I have a feeling he did too.
So he went swimming and stuff, and you get to know Phil. Now Joe is out of the movie. Now it's Phil, the big trucker guy who really wants to lose weight, and he has the same skin disease and stuff. And he's hoping – oh, and another thing about Joe is he went off his medication. He didn't have to take it anymore. He was so healthy. And the whole movie, you know, kind of goes about how like we – I guess
natural foods are kind of better for you
as humans, you know, back in the day we'd eat plant life and stuff when we were healthy, you know, other things killed us, diseases and stuff, but
everything is processed now.
Right.
There's no nutrient density to our food. It's been processed out of the food. So it's really kind of about going back to natural foods. And if you look at that, that Dr. Furman's food pyramid, it's 80%,
right?
Like it was nutrient dense vegetables, like greens,
and
stuff like that.
It's the opposite of most American diets, or it might be in, you know, he said Australia is really bad too. We eat like 10% of nutrient rich food, of vegetables and fruit and stuff, and it's like 90% animal product and other.
Oils, fats,
sugar, and that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's basically he changed his diet to – he reversed that and how it made him – brought new life to him and everything. Because I got to tell you, when I told Laura that I want to start eating healthy, because I honestly, by around 3 o'clock, I did feel like shit every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just like tired, lethargic, and I'm like, what is the deal, man? I'm going to eat an apple. I don't feel any better. You know, it doesn't matter, Jason, if you ate like
an apple doesn't help.
Scrambled eggs, sausage, you know, heavily buttered toast for breakfast, then ate like
sounds delicious.
Sonic with tater tots for lunch, and then you eat an apple in the afternoon.
It's like Sonic puts sugar in everything.
I just want to take a nap. I don't feel good. You know, I'll admit that most of my life I've eaten like complete shit. Okay. So I'm trying to eat healthy now, and I have probably eaten healthier than I ever have in my life, because I don't remember parts of my childhood that I probably did. I just don't remember back. Or, you know, when you're younger, you can handle horrible food that you eat, you know, lots of sugar and stuff. But now when –
because you just burn it off.
Like, I'm 39 years old. I'm about to hit 40, okay? I can't handle, like, donuts anymore. That's one thing. Like, if I eat one donut in the morning, I haven't in a while, but I feel like complete shit within minutes. Like, my whole body
–
like, weight is on my shoulders. Like, I can feel it. It's like my body's like, I can't digest this. Too much sugar.
I had two donuts and a cinnamon roll the other morning, and – 2 hours later, I was so dizzy from all the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I gotta sit down. I can't take this. I mean, what the hell? And that's the only thing I was like, good Lord, eating this crap. Like, I'm not going to do that anymore. Again.
Like, I'm eating whole grains, vegetables. I make omelets, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning, I make a 2-egg omelet, and I've got red pepper, green pepper. I got some chives in there. Sometimes I'll add some either, you know, if I have, it depends on what kind of meat I have left over from the night before, but I can add like some diced ham or something like that. Or you can, you know, you can add any kind of meat really to a an omelet and it'll be delicious.
Well, oh, yeah, you should start adding some, like, some spinach, some kale, you know, or kale or mushrooms, onions. Start putting more veggies in it.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fancy chopping up chives and putting it in the egg and stuff, because it looks so pretty when it's done and you see the little green specks in there. It's really awesome.
Looks professional.
But I'll even eat like a one piece of whole grain toast, whole wheat toast with that, and I'll have energy forever after that. And then, like, I don't know, it's around 12 or 1 or whatever, you have a piece of fruit, and then you can make a lunch in an hour or something. But anyway, back to the movie anyway. But it's all about, you know, just being healthy. And this guy, Phil, through doing this juice fast, you see this incredible transformation. How much weight does he lose, Bill?
100 pounds in 3 months.
Yeah, it's incredible. Complete transformation. And it's like even people who saw him and they're like, holy shit, is that the same guy, you know?
Well, and he was an inspiration to the community too, yeah. Because he would go to the local, I guess it would be like a farmer's co-op,
right?
Kind of like a little little store that just did organic produce and stuff, and he would go in there and get his daily stuff to make his drinks, and people would see him losing the weight, and he ended up doing like talks. And And he didn't even the store start renting out.
Yeah, they would give a juicer to people. They would rent out a juicer or like loan it to somebody who would try it. And his skin started glowing too. He was just like vibrant looking and full of life all of a sudden.
Did he get rid of his skin condition?
Yes. That's a part where I teared up a little when he was like, what about my medication? Because he wants off this damn medication that makes him feel like shit. And she's like, I see no problem with you stopping your medication altogether. You don't need it anymore. And he was like, oh, God, thank God. And I was just like, man, because you can just see, you really start to fall in love with the guy over, you see how hard he's working, you know?
Right. Yeah. Now I'm going to see Jason. He's going to make him a little small farm in his backyard, making fresh vegetables.
It's a step-by-step thing. Are you thinking about doing it? I've
been trying to get Jason to buy an earth box.
Well, I thought of it in, it's like almost in stages. First is like, okay, I'm sick of feeling like shit all the time. I'm going to eat better. Okay, now I'm eating better. I think I should exercise, you know? Now I'm in the part where
you lose enough weight and you want to get outside and do stuff,
a lifestyle change. And, you know, that's another thing. Like when you go to the grocery store, Bill, how much pesticides and shit is all over this, these vegetables and things I'm buying? True. How great would it be to have my own vegetables growing?
I mean, you complain
about... That's the best thing about summer here is planting a garden.
He complains about, you know, how much he sweats, you know. And I've sweat more now that I've put on more weight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you
because there's more skin to sweat.
Right. And so, I mean, Jason complains about, you know, it's like he walks
like a pig.
Yeah, you walk outside and it's just all of a sudden you start sweating. It's,
yeah, well, you feel
do live in Texas.
You feel well, disheveled that, the rest of the day.
That too, but I mean, but still, even still, you know, with the extra weight on, you know, right. And everything.
And
you don't feel like going out and doing anything because you know you're just going to sweat and feel nasty.
Right. That's this summer where it's been 100, over 100 degrees for how many days in a row? Thank God our air conditioner broke and we got a new one. That's all I have to say because it would have broken by now. Had it not broken in April, you know, it would have been like, dude, I'm out. It's 104 every day.
I'm staying in hotels. Sorry.
And thank God my wife was like, you know, we need to get the most expensive one, the most efficient,
the super premium package.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And thank God we did.
You get one that will air condition a 3,000 square foot home. That way, you know, the smaller house will be well taken care of.
But Bill, after I watched Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, I wanted you to watch it because I was inspired. I'm like, I want to go on a juice fast at least for 10 days and see what it's like. And maybe I'll be like Phil in the movie. After 10 days, he was like, no, I'm going to go for 30. He's like, I'm seeing too much change in my life and everything.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Then he goes for 60.
Yeah, 60.
Then he goes for 90.
Right. And he's just like, how could I can't go back. Because I think of it, I think even Joe says in the movie, or maybe Phil does. He says, like, if I crave something, like a hamburger or something, he thinks, I already had that. And that's what made me look like this.
Yeah.
I had that shitty food. I've eaten enough of it. And it made me do nothing but feel like shit. That's really helped motivate me, too. Like, the only thing, my only thing that it's really hard to, like, I love ice cream, you know? And I've had to do things like
free. Pure fat and pure sugar.
Yep. So what I've been having is, like a dessert will be, like, blueberries or strawberries. You can add in some, you know, spray whipped cream. Stuff is, like, there's no fat or anything in it.
Frozen yogurt, too,
barely tastes like.
Mix in fresh.
No, I avoid yogurt. No, nothing like that. But anything with added sugar, I'm just talking about. I'm trying to just try fruits and vegetables and not add other stuff, you know. So I'm not doing yogurt or anything like that.
Is yogurt a lot of sugar in it?
No, well, it all depends on the yogurt you buy.
But yeah. I'm just avoiding.
You buy
plain
Greek yogurt or, you know, something like that.
That's
fine.
What I'm saying. You just buy the plain yogurt and
I don't know.
Your
like,
stuff.
This is like the beginning, like since July. This month I've been doing this. Who knows? Maybe this time next year I'm like, guys, I'm fully vegetarian, okay? I don't see it happening.
I never go
but
fully vegetarian.
That could happen. I don't know. Or I don't see why.
I like meat too much. Like, I know it's supposed to be like the thing you're not supposed to eat. Is basically like saturated beef, you know, like saturated fat beef, stuff like that.
Well, what's it been for me? 20 plus years since I've eaten beef.
But you know, a way around that is just get bison, you know, because bison is a third of the saturated fat of beef.
Yeah, so, I can never see me not eating chicken. It's hard to, or pork,
seafood, some shrimps.
Yeah, I love fish and shrimp. Yeah. It'd be hard not to do that. And I love a good ribeye.
it's all about moderation and portion control.
Yeah.
So you're allowed to have that, just not every week.
Well, I would never – I'm just saying, like, people who are vegetarians, I don't know everyone, but I think a lot of people at one time they were, like, different stages of their diet, and then they eventually went vegetarian. You know, some people, I guess they were raised that way. I don't know.
Snob.
So I'm just saying, it'd be hard to see myself doing that. But anyway, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, it's on Netflix. Everyone should check it out. It's really cool and inspiring. And how many, I mean, I'm at the point now where I'm ready to just eat healthy and stop eating shit all the time.
Heavy since, it probably started after my parents separated sometime in 85 or 86. When I started gaining weight, and I've been heavy almost my entire life, and I started the process in 2004 to do bariatric surgery, but had to drop out because I was going to do self-pay. It didn't have my insurance didn't cover it, and it's $22,000.
Holy shit!
So, I think this past June, I got new insurance that actually does cover it. So I started the process again, and I had my first dietitian visit this past Thursday and learned a lot of stuff. And I've been, you know, I think we've kind of started doing this around the same time where we're both really trying to concentrate on getting healthy and living a better life. And for me in particular, because I want to be able to travel, I want to get down there, do some cool stuff for the show, stuff like that, and just kind of
– absolutely.
Have a life again, and being morbidly obese just limits your potential exponentially. Just it's horrible. So this is, you know, it's I think our mindset has completely changed.
Right. I almost kind of wish we did live in the same place so we could just cheer each other on, you know.
I think we do a good bit of it, but it would certainly help.
See, and I've tried to think, you know, eating better while I'm on the road, you know. It's like, but you fall into your habits, like you said, you know.
You do. I've been in a rut.
You see me over the past 2.5 years since I've started traveling so much.
Mm-hmm.
I've put on probably 50 pounds doing this job. I was like, I don't need to put on another 50 in 2 more years.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. The best thing to do.
I'm already 100 pounds heavier since I was from high school.
You got to eat out a lot, right? Just eat more grilled chicken salad.
I eat. grilled chicken mostly anytime.
Say, hold the bacon. I don't hold the bacon. Because there are restaurants
just where hold that bacon.
You order a salad and it's covered in bacon. And I'm like, why is there bacon all over this? This is not, you're making it an unhealthy salad. And you
I always get salad, not pork.
And I get the dressing on the side. Because if you get something that's drowned in dressing, it's like, what is the freaking point? You're going to drown it in dressing. You got to get it on the side. And I dip my fork in it and then put it in the salad.
Yeah, when I make a salad, I put the dressing, like I measure it out like a tablespoon or two of dressing in the bottom of a bowl and then put all the greens and everything in and then mix it by hand.
Right.
So it just coats, doesn't drown in it.
See, I've been trying to do like the Subway thing, you know, mm-hmm. and I get a foot long, but I eat half of it. Mm. Save the other half for a dinner.
And you should get wheat
the,
bread.
The seafood footlong. No.
Put extra mayo on
like
that.
I like a swordfish sandwich.
No, I get mustard. There's no fat in the mustard.
Yeah, don't get white bread. I'm done with white bread.
Wheat. No,
yeah.
I've always...
White bread is
I hate
death.
White bread. I've always white, hated
any,
it.
Wheat, I'm done with... Yeah. I mean, I'm done with flour.
When you go to... Yeah, when you go to Subway, if you do get like a sub, get a wheat one. Just don't get the other ones because they're always dry as a bone because no one else gets anything else. Like the honey oat. You go, yeah, give me the honey oat. And then you get it.
There's dust on
it. It's like biting into a brick.
Give me that 7-14 grain thing. There.
Yeah.
There, I got to say that the Subway commercials with the breakfast, those always look good. The breakfast sandwich?
I don't know. The Subway commercials just annoy the hell out of me because you get all these like athletes like, yeah, Subway's totally a part of my training session. I'm just like, oh, yeah. Shut up. I don't actually eat at Subway, you ass.
I'm not so deluded to think that Subway is great for me, but, you know, it's better for me than a lot of things.
Right.
What it is you have to look at the, you know, you can pretty much just ignore calories. What you need to do is the dietitian told me you got to look at fat, you got to look at carb, you got to look at sugar, and you got to look at protein. And those are the major things. And if it's,
I think to start out, like, don't get overwhelmed, just cut back on the sugar.
Well, I cut back on my portion size too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I used to would eat the whole foot long.
Right.
You know, in one sitting. You know,
and then you get a shirt that says I ate the foot long.
And so now you go, okay, I eat half of it and save the other half for later.
Right.
Ugh, yuck.
Well, guess what, you know.
That bread gets all soggy and nasty.
The 6-inch sandwich is the same price now as the footlong, you know, because of that $5 special mm-hmm. thing.
There's something, so I'm like, I could easily eat the footlong. In one
city. Shit! Yeah, so could I.
And stuff. So,
but that's the other thing I learned here. I'm imparting wisdom. If you chew slower, so say you chew for 30 seconds on the single bite that you have in your mouth, it takes you longer to eat something, but it also takes your stomach 30 minutes to tell your brain that you're full. So if you eat slower, you'll get fuller, you know, faster, basically.
Right.
So, you know, you got to eat slower. That's no wolfing. Because if you wolf something down, by the time your stomach tells your brain you're full, you feel like shit.
Yeah. I've never been a wolfer. I'm a very slow eater. It drives me nuts. Everyone that I'm around wolfs their food down. Like, my wife does. I'm like, Jesus, what happened to your food? It's just like, I'm all done. It's like, it's not a race, man. Slow down.
A lot of people I work with are like that, and I'm just
I've got no time. I must eat.
I'm just like,
it's like, you need a foot long. I'm still have got half of my 6-inch left.
I say this to Emma all the time. Savor the flavor of your food. Come on. The problem is I savor it, and then I eat all of it. You know,
this tastes so good, I'm just going to eat it all.
I enjoyed this entire pizza. Yum. It took me 3 hours to eat it.
That's probably my worst. When I make homemade pizzas, you know, it's like, oh, I could probably eat an entire – I make them about 13, 14 inches. I could eat one. Easy.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, we got to move on, guys. But this has been awesome. We need to do a food podcast and getting in shape podcast. That's what we need to do, Bill.
Foodcast.
But I really enjoyed Captain America. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it. You know, I just have a hard-on for Joe Johnston. I just think he's so bland of a director.
Well, when you say hard-on, it sounds like you do like him a lot.
I guess in a way I'm saying I enjoy disliking him.
I don't. I like Joe Johnson.
Impress me yet?
Yeah, come on, Captain America impressed the hell out of me.
It's fun.
He did a great job with it.
There's a few moments where I was like, "Oh, that's really bad CGI."
But, oh, come on, that's not his fault.
No, come on, when he's running after the jet, or not the jet, but the prop bomber thing and all it was just like,
come on, it's not that bad. But the movie, and it has some great shots in it. There's a scene, I thought Hugo Weaving was great as the Red Skull. There's a part
where... Hugo Weaving not great in anything?
Right, he is always great. When Steve Rogers, you know, Captain America, and him meet on that catwalk, and then the doctor guy separates it, and it's pulling apart as they're standing there, and the explosion and fires in between them. Yeah, I was like, that's a sweet shot, man.
That was like an iconic shot. That was really well done.
And Chris Evans, that guy, he's got charisma just pouring out of his pores. You know, it's just he's fantastic in it. And I like
to... You're glad that he's getting recognized now, because Sunshine really kind of... put him out there for people, and Losers, he was so great.
I always thought he was the best thing about the Fantastic Four movies. He was so good as Johnny Storm, I thought. The movies were just cheesy, and Dr. Doom, I thought, sucked in those.
Oh, my God, that guy from Nip Tuck. Wow.
Yeah. So, but Captain America...
Ian Greed.
It's funny, my dad, he watched Captain America. He sent me an email, and he goes... This movie was made for people in their 60s, and I loved it. And he goes, and I was like, really? That's the target audience? Okay, Dad.
Well, that's Joe Johnston's target audience.
But he grew up in that time, you know. It's just really awesome, and I love the...
I'm in love with the girl that played Peggy Carter.
Yeah. Joe Johnston I love The Rocketeer, too, Bill.
Well, Joe Johnston knows how to pick lonesome co-stars, because The Rocketeer had Jennifer Connelly before she got all anorexic.
Yeah, she looked fantastic in The Rocketeer.
There was a great moment where a guy playing W.C. Fields greets her and makes a comment on her breast, and there's just this shot of her boobs. The Rocketeer was
I don't know why you're dissing on Joe Johnston when there's so many other bad directors.
There really are. You know, Brett Ratner.
We haven't even talked about really Transformers, but I would take Joe Johnston over Michael Bay any day.
Definitely. I mean, I enjoyed Transformers because it was just stupid and fun to look at.
The robot fighting is cool. Everything else is, come on. I don't ever see Shia LaBeouf do pratfalls in a movie again.
Deep Wang.
I don't want to see it ever again.
Yeah. I mean, I had fun with it, but holy shit, don't try to defend it to Andy from the Hollywood Saloon.
I don't defend
myself
you know
in the
what's
head
funny
after talking
is
to him about
I dragged Heather to go see Transformers, and halfway through the movie, I looked at her and I was just like, I'm sorry for bringing you to this. You know,
he was trying to get me to go, and it was like I was too far
it's
away.
It's not a movie for Heather, and I don't know why I made her go to it. But I swear to God, when the movie was over and people clapped or whatever, and she was like, "Are you effing kidding me? Why
are
people
clapping for?"
And I go, "They're happy it's over, maybe."
Well, and it ends just on such a such a violent and kind of odd note, where Optimus Prime just goes basically batshit nuts and starts shooting robots in the head.
Well, there's a part at the end where Optimus is like, enough of this shit. And he takes a laser shotgun. He points it right in Leonard Nimoy's head. And he goes,
and no, Optimus.
He pleads for his life. He executes him right in front of the front row of kids in front of me. And the row in front of me, I'm like, holy shit, Michael Bay. I'm like, yeah, the 15-year-old of me is like, oh, yeah, badass. He blew him away. But also, I'm looking at these little kids, and I'm like, Optimus just executed that guy. And you're seeing people get roasted alive and skulls just appearing on the ground. Michael Bay needs to focus. I don't know what the hell.
You know what? He's getting carried away with the more adult themes of the film, but there's this great site.
He needs to watch the cartoons.
Off the top of my head, I cannot remember it, but there's this great site where the guy basically reviews every film that's been released on Criterion DVD. And one of them, he reviews The Rock. And he said the commentary for The Rock is the perfect idea of what Michael Bay is, because he justifies the films as business transactions.
Yeah.
Not films. Like, you know that car chase that just kind of happens out of nowhere with
In The Rock? When,
yeah, where Sean Connery takes the Humvee and all that stuff.
Right, yeah.
That was never in the script. Michael Bay wanted to put that in for the, 15, 16-year-olds who were kind of losing patience.
I'm only borrowing your Humvee.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so stupid.
I mean, there's just so – I have to listen to The Rock commentary, because this guy, the way he talks about the way – how unapologetically
– right.
Business like Michael Bay is.
Nobody
about
could
this
rationally
thing.
Talk to him about Transformers, because he go, "Have you seen how much money they made?" Okay,
exactly.
Argument.
That's
over.
All it's about for him,
right.
Is money.
And the Victoria's Secret model he put as the girlfriend. Best thing about the movie. Swear to God,
oh, that
I could just
CD ass shot at the beginning.
I could just watch her walking around doing nothing for the same amount of running time.
Beautiful.
And no one could diss her acting either. I think it was fine. The only part that...
For what she had, like 5 minutes worth of screen time, she was fine.
There's never been a moment in the movie where they explained to her who Megatron was. So I thought
she
it was a little...
Need to.
I thought it was a little odd when she walks up to Megatron and is like, "Hey, that guy, he's stealing your position with your Decepticons. Yeah. He's making you look like an ass." He's like, "Hey, you're right.
You're just going to be Sentinel's bitch."
Yeah, and I was like, "Wait, what is the motivation for her to do this?"
Yeah. How does she know
their names? How does she know who he is?
She watched the cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing that bothered me was that if these Autobots and everything were so secretive, and there was this like massive base and everything controlled by Frances McDormand,
mm-hmm.
how did they cover up the prior films where shit went crazy?
Yeah, I don't know. And
it's just there's so much that's wrong.
What I want to know is this: why would Patrick Dempsey keep fighting for the Decepticons?
Yeah.
Like, do they have a bank account somewhere where they're just paying him monthly? Why?
Yeah, he wants to be the last man on Earth, apparently.
Because even when the Autobots are winning or whatever, he's like, "No, I'm still going to fight for the Decepticons. Is what my dad did." And I was like, "Okay, what?"
I didn't understand. It's really insanely stupid. It makes no sense.
What?
The guy that writes it, that wrote it, apparently, this Aaron Kruger, all he does is write garbage.
The action scenes, the fighting and stuff is pretty cool, but there were Autobot executions, like it's like friggin' Schindler's List or something.
That one execution of Q.
The old man Autobot?
Yeah, the old man. That was really freaking disturbing.
He's like, "Oh," and they're like, just, "Oh," and he's like, "Oh my God." And there's little kids like, "Mommy."
That kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
I can see Emma crying
Autobot
over that.
In the film that was like a red Ferrari.
Right. And he had a target symbol.
Oh, yeah, I forget what his name is in the cartoon series.
Sideswipe?
No, in the something like that. It's not coming to me. He in the cartoon series he was like an F1 car, but they changed him to a Ferrari. But here's Michael Bay in a nutshell. They changed his name to Dino in the movie because Dino was the nickname of the owner of Ferrari.
Okay.
I mean,
yes.
Change names based on business decisions.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the canon of the series, what actually happens.
I thought I cracked up when Glenn Morshower was in it again, Aaron from 24.
Yeah.
Because I remember hearing an interview with him about Transformers 2, and he said Michael Bay called him, and he goes, "I'd like you to be in the movie." He goes, "Well, Michael, I died in the first movie." He's like, "It doesn't matter. Nobody remembers." And then when he shows up in the third one, I was just like, there he is again. Who gives a shit if you died, I just want you back.
You're King Kenny from South Park.
But Cowboys and Aliens comes out this week, and I'm going to try to see that tomorrow. I'm going to try to see it.
I'll probably see it on Monday.
I want to see if I can forgive Jon Favreau for Iron Man 2.
Well, Jon Favreau is another one of those directors that I think, is he really supposed to be directing action movies? Like, I just don't think he... I'm waiting to see this one to see. Does he really have something that sets him apart from everyone else?
Maybe I'll even get laid.
I do like that he's using Sam Rockwell in his movies. Is there anything...
Well, yeah.
That scene that I used in the intro of Sam Rockwell taking his stuff back from Mickey Rourke is my favorite scene in Iron Man 2. He's like, take his shoes, take his pillows, and take his bird. And he's, I just love that.
Sam Rockwell is quite possibly one of the best actors right now.
He's a genius. I love him.
His tiny parts in Gentleman Broncos make that film. Where he plays the fictitious character that the boy writes about his stories.
I'll definitely see that because I didn't even know he was in that.
It is such a stupid movie, but there's such joy in it. That I can't. It's irresistible to me.
I love his delivery when he's saying all this stuff to Mickey Rourke, and then all Mickey Rourke is just says something in Russian, and he's like,
"I don't know if you know this, but I don't speak Russian."
I love that.
He's great.
I'm gonna leave now.
All right, guys, let's talk about what's on our TiVo. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Huge entertainment segment for you guys, huh? You like that? All right. All right, I'm done. All right, guys, we're back, and Cake Boss, huh?
The boss. Now, which one are we talking about? The go-kart with no engine? Or
yeah, there's a lot of Cake Bosses. How about this one? He's making a hamburger cake, and Grace comes in there to bother him again. Oh, what is her damage?
He needs to keep a gun in there.
Finishing his cake, and then...
No kidding.
Okay, but just so you know, okay, I just finished a consultation that you were supposed to take, Mauro. So you don't want me doing other people's jobs, but I'm doing other people's jobs because you guys are not here. Okay?
Me and Grace have been clashing a lot at the bakery, and I thought things were getting better lately with us, but she really took me off guard with this outburst.
Okay, and everyone says that I need to poke my nose out of other people's
business.
Can
you just stop the clip?
Well, if I need to poke my nose out of other people's business, then what would it be happening today? I come in on my day.
I went through all the trouble of putting it together. You did a consultation. We're making a giant cake.
It's not my job.
I'm making a hamburger cake.
So you can't
so
have
everything is not my job?
Tell me.
Okay. I don't have a job description in here. I do whatever needs to get done.
You have it either A or B. You can't tell me. Don't get involved in what you're doing.
How bad would it be if he just shoved a knife into her neck?
Oh, my God.
Grace. It's not my job.
Grace, I got to get this cake done.
I wouldn't be so riled up over nothing if I wasn't so busy doing everyone else's
grammar, too.
Do they send her in there and tell her to be annoying?
I think so.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not kidding. I had enough of her. I had enough.
Just keep your cool. She's your sister.
I understand, but I had enough. She's really pushing my buttons, man.
I'm really tired of the way Buddy is treating me. I've just had
it. Shut up. No one's on your side, Grace.
How he's treating her?
All she does is come in and bitch about everything. He's minding his own business. Holy crap.
Oh, I you know what? If I ever saw her, I might just have to punch her.
You know, there's been many episodes of Cake Boss where I'll sit there kind of in a lethargic, kind of like if I'd be after I ate some of the cake, you know, still lethargic. But there is a moment that happened on the most recent one where he made a camping cake where his sister, I forget her name. You hardly ever see her.
Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa.
Was it Lisa?
This guy's talking to her. She talks to him about making a camping cake. And she's like, oh, you want fire? Sure, we can do fire on a cake. And then she tells Buddy in the way he's like, what? It's hilarious just how.
No, that's Morrow's wife.
Okay.
What the hell is her name? It doesn't matter.
He'll say her name in the clip. But it's so funny how Buddy's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Hi.
You too.
So what are you doing?
Back about 10 years ago, my friends and I used to go camping together over the summers. And it's just been a long time since we've been able to get together. We're just all excited, so I really felt like, you know, you guys...
Could they maybe get some noise isolation microphones?
Really the best way to represent our time together growing up.
Absolutely. That sounds like a lot of fun. So what kind of cake are you looking for?
What do you think?
Everybody likes to toast marshmallows on camping trips. How about a fire in the cake?
Fire?
Fire?
behavior.
You guys can do that. You can actually put the fire on the cake.
Yeah, why not?
If anybody could do it, Buddy could do it.
I mean, that'd be amazing if you could do that.
I promise you, it'll be on the cake.
Great, that's so good.
Okay, I'm gonna tell them all about it.
Wonderful. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Excuse me.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, hey. I'm glad you're here. I called you, but you didn't answer your phone.
I'm busy with Lackawanna.
Remember our friend Adam?
Yeah.
He came in today. He's going on a camping trip with his friends.
Okay.
And he wants you to make the cake. So he gave some ideas, and I says, oh, well, what about a fire in the cake? Like a campfire?
Fire.
Like real fire.
What do you mean a real fire?
Like a real fire. When you present the cake, it's going to be
and
flames.
Set it on fire.
Like, we'll make, like, wood and try to, like, make it look like real fire?
No. Not look like a fire. Like flames,
like
fire.
Like you burn?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, really, well, how the hell am I going to do that? If you light a fire in a cake, it's going to burn. It's going to melt. It's icy.
Okay, even if we just light it to present it.
It's not like a candle you can blow out. It's a friggin' fire.
Listen, I promised him real fire on the cake. You got to see his face when I told him. He was so excited that it was going to be real fire on his cake.
Fire?
And I have faith in you. And
you
I know you can do
to
it.
Me first.
And I'm not calling him back because I know you can do it. And that's that.
Oh, my God.
Do
she's
that
worse.
Cake and that's it.
So since Madeline's sucking me into doing this camping cake, here's what I'm going to do. I'll start with a whole campground scene. The tent, the campers, and all the gear. Even an RV. And since Madeline promised Adam a fire,
they have the sound
I'll
effects.
Give it a shot with a big fire pit in the middle. Big enough for a real life-size campfire. But I got to figure out how to get this fire and cake to mix.
The funniest thing is when he delivered the camping cake, the guys are camping out in the middle of nowhere, and he's like, here's your gigantic effing camping cake. All right, see you later. I was like, how are they going to dispose of this shit? It's going to melt in the sun.
Enjoy your cake with your flies.
Yeah, all of a sudden, bees just swarm
in. Some bear comes out of the room.
It's just like eating all my cake. Yeah, it's just like, dude, thanks for the cake, buddy.
Yogi Bear and Boo Boo.
What the hell are they going to do with that cake in the middle of nowhere?
In the corner.
I doubt they brought a shitload of saran wrap with them.
Hey, boo-boo, how's the milk cake?
He'd go to town on that shit. Now, Big Brother Bill, we missed a few episodes.
Big Brother Jason.
Big Brother Bill, Big Brother Steven.
Big Brother Jason, Big Brother Bill.
On Sunday's episode, they had a very special guest. And what was funny about this is that Jordan, who seems like a very sweet person, doesn't seem that quick intelligence-wise, you know?
Yeah.
And there was this cryptic clue, and somehow she figured out who it was by
First try.
First try.
I was shocked by it.
And even Jeff is like, if you think that's what it is. He's like, where the hell did she come up with this? I don't even know. I don't even think he thought she was right. He just kind of was like, okay.
Just indulge her.
Let's check this out. It's funny.
Oh my God, if someone does walk out on the red carpet.
Dude, I hope it's Minka Kelly. I hope it's Tori.
Why would it be Minka Kelly?
Is it Tori? Is Tori Spelling going to come here? Am I wearing something nice? Is she going to think I'm cute? Oh my God, oh my God.
Settle down.
Hey, if it was Tori Spelling, who's going to restrain him?
The rules of the game are simple. They give you a couple clues, and you have to guess what celebrity the clues represent, so you better get your guesses in fast. Our first clue are 3 bars of soap and a pair of fancy binoculars. I'm running through all my ideas in my head, and really, I'm left befuddled.
I see these opera sunglasses. I'm like, looking at those, I'm like, maybe that's
sure
like for binoculars. You, like, watch, and then I see the soap, and then I'm like, soap, wash. You know, like, if, like, a soap brand, but I was thinking, like, Bay. I was like, what if it's, like, something like Bay and you're washing? I'm like, Baywatch.
Holy shit.
Okay. I think that's
what
my official guess is David Hasselhoff. That would be so funny if I was right.
I don't know how you got there, but don't even tell me.
Okay.
How do you get 3 bars of soap and some glasses and get David Hasselhoff? I have no idea.
A microphone.
What the hell do they have an air horn?
That's obviously the clue.
So he's an actor.
Clue number 2.
The best
revealed.
The best
it's
guess
a mic
is,
stand. Right off the bat, I'm thinking singer.
Portia, Bill.
It's a singer who's a soap star. Singer, soap star. Singer, soap star.
No idea.
Now, they know whoever it is going to visit them, right? Listen to Portia's guess, okay?
Is Michael C. Hall Dexter, please?
Yeah,
I can't believe Dexter's Rachel's trying to help out Portia. Listen. I mean, come on, Rachel.
My official guess is Michael Jackson.
Liberace?
I was thinking it's got to be a soap opera star.
Paul Lynn.
Also is a singer.
Do it.
Ricky Martin? Barbara Streisand.
Oh, first star. First the one would guess that.
Keira Knightley?
Is he
Brian McKnight?
I'm surprised he didn't say Liza Minnelli.
John Stamos.
Mark Garland?
Mark Wahlberg.
When I walk out of that back door and I see the kit car and the Hoff with his glasses on, this is a great moment for me.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
Don't hassle the Hoff.
The Hoff was in the house.
The winner of today's luxury competition is Jordan.
Oh, I love this.
I have set up a private party for you upstairs in the HOH room for you and three guests. You get to eat, drink, and watch an advanced screening of the new CBS series, same name. And
what?
Jordan, I need you to choose three people.
Jeff, Shelley, and Kalia.
Jordan, you're not picking me to go to the screening, and I'm the HOH. What is going on in your head, girl?
Congratulations. Let's go upstairs. Have some fun.
Who are you really aligned with? Shelly and Kalia?
Kit, get me out of here.
Oh.
You guys are hot nuts.
That's so embarrassing.
I'm so sick of Rachel and Brendanville.
They are so annoying. I'm really hoping that Danielle, who won Head of Household...
Whenever... They have a moment where they argue and they go into another room and they play this tender music as they're fighting.
It's so phony.
And he's, I will not be surprised if years from now we'll hear of Brendan stabbing Rachel to death.
Yes.
Like a dozen times with a butcher knife or something. Like, she tried to leave me and I had to keep her with me or something. The dude,
I love you so much.
And he's like, but I love you and it hurts so much. And she's like, oh, Bookie. Oh, my God. Why did they put these people in the
house?
Oh,
and then whenever she calls him Bookie in public, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, she did that, and he was like, I don't like you call me that.
I will kill you, bitch.
Didn't you love her guest? Can you just see Keira Knightley showing up on Big Brother?
Yes, Keira Knightley needs publicity on Big Brother.
Keira Knightley?
Yeah.
You know, they used to show shitty rom-coms for, like, the screening.
Yeah, they would show a motion picture, a movie.
Yeah.
And now they're showing them a shitty CBS filler summer show.
only those four people will ever see.
Have you seen the commercial to this? Like, my name's David Hasselhoff, and my name's David Hasselhoff. And it's and one is like, I'm Kathy Griffin. Nuh-uh, I'm Kathy Griffin. I was like, yeah, I can't wait to see this show.
I'm not watching that at all. No one did.
Now, one great thing is we know Evil Dick's daughter, Danielle, Danny, as they call her, did she put this idea into everybody's head, or she was like, go after Jeff and Jordan?
The backdoor Jeff, yeah.
She just kind of threw it out there, right?
Yeah.
And so everybody's fighting over this. And there was this funny moment, Bill. I don't know if it was Thursday night or the night before when Brendan is laying outside. He's all stretched out on this pool chair or whatever you call it. And he's just got shorts on. So he's basically, he's completely naked except for his shorts, right? He's just laying there in shorts. Well, Kalia comes up to talk to him and she sits right in the middle. And in the shot that they keep showing of him outstretched, his arms behind his back, and her huddled over talking to him. It looks like she's giving him a blowjob in the shot.
Does.
And he's completely naked because she's covering his shorts. So it looks like he's naked and she's servicing him in all the outside shots. And I was cracking up because they kept cutting to that shot. I was like, she's giving him oral. That's what it looks like.
I thought the same thing.
And I thought it was so funny because she's talking about, like, I'm not a liar and I'm not a backstabber or whatever. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And then he starts talking about how he studied rocket science and stuff.
Yeah. Don't try to fool me. I'm a rocket scientist.
And then then Rachel starts going on about Danielle in front of her. Like, Danielle's next to her, and she's not looking at her. She's like, if you want a friend like that, a friend who will stab you in the back, a friend who will throw you under the bus. And I hate how they use the same terms, like, over and over again. Like,
because they don't have a vocabulary.
Backdoor. Throw under the bus. They just say the same shit over and over again. But let's go ahead and check this out. It's funny. And I'd probably stab Brendan after trying to talk to him, too. He's a moron.
I think they should
I'm
just
laying
stab
outside
each other.
Trying to get a little sun and enjoy the peace and quiet. And along comes Kalia and starts babbling on. And all I can hear is lies,
starts
lies, lies.
You.
When somebody sits here and tells me that they're honest or straightforward, blah, 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 that's the first person to lie to me. And you've done a great job of being in the middle and playing both sides.
That's what you think.
Yeah. You know what? It doesn't make a rocket scientist, but you know what? I've studied rocket science. And
Brendan,
this is way easier than rocket science.
Brendan, relax.
If we don't
relax. And you guys always 100%. Think it's both sides.
Oh, my God.
You always think everything is a both sides.
You and
sides.
Your partner are 100% floaters. That's all you've been this game.
That's what
and
we are.
Here,
I'm a floater.
You are an all-time floater. 100%.
You need to flush that.
You don't know me, Brendan, at all.
Too much
you
fat.
You are a terrible listener. I'm trying to talk to you, and you're making this a huge conversation, which is what you do to everybody.
Okay, then go ahead. What else do you have to say?
And for you
what
to walk around, for you to... I'm not convincing you of anything. I, don't
I love how
you.
He gets his last word in as he's walking away.
You told me to believe you.
You do not have to believe me. My life will go on if you don't, and that's wonderful and fine.
Very good.
Brendan, keep playing the game you're playing. It clearly works.
She gets up to leave.
Sure. Hey, while you're at it, why don't you do your own dishes?
Say one more thing smart to me. You
oh,
think
no,
I'm sweet? You think I'm lovely and wonderful? Keep going.
No, I never thought that.
Keep going. Keep going, Brendan. Keep going. You don't know everything like you think you do. Just because you think you're going for your PhD, you're smart? Please. Suck it.
And your friend will sell you out under the bus quicker than she can blink an eye. Your friend will stab you in the back and send you out that door and not even vote for
well,
you.
You need
a pity
an ambulance,
vote.
Probably.
Or shed a tear. So I don't know if that's a friend, but that's not the kind of friend I want to have.
Yeah.
Your friend doesn't care about turning an alliance she made day one against each other.
Rachel,
or your friend
you
doesn't
gotta,
care.
You can't say that, though.
You're an idiot, first of all. Oh, like, I'm an idiot. Hey, yeah.
don't ever call my fiance an idiot. First of all, you got busted. Your idiotic plan got outed. But when it comes, you're letting people take the fall for you. And you don't have the balls to say that you got caught.
Okay.
We gave you an opportunity up there, and you didn't take it.
Oh, thanks, master. Thanks.
All you had to do was
that's
sit back.
Really
all you had to do was sit
really
back while we did fight.
Like a hurricane.
100% on board and wanted it, and you know that. Okay, it was my idea because in this house, when I was teamed up with you two, and you know that, trying to push everybody
like
on your side.
I feel like there should be a sword fight with this
man.
When did that happen?
When
you
told
us Jeff was coming after
us. 2 seconds.
You,
stop
always, you
talking.
Can't take blame for yourself.
What?
Why me? Why did you get this plan? Get me out of here.
On my life, it's nothing personal at all. I saw you as my biggest threat in the house. Period.
Well, it seems a little personal this early in the game.
So everybody else has a different opinion.
I would go after right. Brendan and Rachel
but
first.
On a team that we were all agree. Well, everyone's crying, and I'm like, listen, I got your back. And then 2 weeks later, you stabbed me in my back.
If I do not get Danielle
wait
out of here,
wait a second. Where did the
I'm
cicadas come from?
Back to work, watching these idiots in here the rest of the summer on
it's
TV.
I'm just sick of these people who walk around here like they own the place. With the HOH competition coming up, I will win, and I will get one of them out of the house this week.
Wow, and she kept her promise, didn't she, Bill?
Yeah, her anger is making her play sloppy. It was just her and Kalia left on the there was like this stupid ski endurance
right.
thing. Whoa!
They were like holding
that
on
was a
to
big
it.
Rumble. Yeah, they were holding on to this ski thing, and it was just her and Kalia left, and her and Kalia are buddy-buddy. So what she should have done was let Kalia win, because she controls Kalia anyways, and Kalia just would have done what she wanted her to do, and then she could play next week, you know, for head of household and possibly win. So she's letting her annoyance of Brendan and Rachel, Jeff and Jordan, to get the better of her.
Right. I mean, I can understand, like, the way that Rachel and Brendan talk to everyone, they're kind of like, well, you know, if you go against this, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, it's very condescending.
Yeah, and I would want to get them. Jeff and Jordan, they just kind of go along with things. They seem like much more pleasant to have around.
They are.
Where I wouldn't want to get rid of them first. I'd want to get rid
of
them.
But I don't know why she has such a problem with Jeff whenever she initiated this backdoor thing. Because Jeff seems to be a generally pleasant person.
Yeah,
with
he's never a jerk or anything.
I think Jeff and Jordan's only problem was aligning with Rachel and Brendan, those two idiots. They're so irritating.
It's so funny how Rachel acts tough, and then she always goes to cry somewhere.
Ugh.
Like when before Cassie left, you know, she goes like, you know, you're catty. You're a bad person. You're just...
And you're ugly inside.
Yeah, you're ugly inside. And she goes, whatever. And Cassie leaves, and she's like... you know, she's like, she really hurt my feelings.
She said I was ugly.
And then when Jordan didn't pick her for the stupid Hoff thing,
she started
crying with that too. I thought they were friends. And he's like,
she couldn't have eaten any of the sushi that they had up there anyways because she was the 2 week have not.
Oh,
so
and
it mattered.
And remember, Brendan, he said, well, you want to put up Jeff and Jordan then? I'm all for it if you want to. And then they're giving Danielle a hard time for saying that when he said it before, too. They're idiots. Okay, we're going to take a break in a moment. But first, I want to talk about Master Chef. Has everyone been watching Master Chef?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Good stuff. Joe Bastianich, he's getting pissed off and throwing dishes
left
like every episode now.
Does not take shit.
That guy, the goofy-looking bastard Christian... Who
he needs to shave and get a haircut.
He has a horrible tattoo of handwriting on the side of his neck, and he's just gross, and he should never smile because it makes me not want to eat when I see his smile. But I think there is a lobster thing, and his lobster was delicious. Remember, he was messing up and getting all pissed off and cussing really loud.
Yeah.
I'm so angry.
And the judges, they'll only pick the three think look the best.
Yeah.
And here, there's Joe, there's Gordon, of course, and who's the other guy? I can never remember his name.
Graham Bowles.
Graham, he says, is there anyone here who thinks there should be third picked of the top three? And, of course, Christian says something.
Yeah, of course he does.
And then when they pick, is her name Jennifer or Lisa? Or the blonde that's not insane.
Yeah, the blonde that actually is normal.
Yeah,
I think that's Jennifer.
Yeah, they pick hers.
The one that's been quiet in the back most of the time.
No, the one that's quiet in the back is the nut job. The one way up front who she usually does good, but she messes up this week. But when Christian sees that they pick her lobster over his, he starts eating his. And
uh-oh.
Joe will have none of that. Let's check this out.
At this point, despite the chaos, I know I'm in the top three.
My lobster was cooked really well,
as well as you could cook a 4-pound lobster.
All right, before I call up dish 3 of 3, is there anybody out there who thinks their dish should be that third? Christian, why don't you tell me why you think you should be up here?
I think the sauce is delicious, and my lobster's cooked perfectly.
Christian, you are not in the top three.
Don't.
You know, you went in thinking that you were going to be number one, but then things started to go awry, and it looked like there was just such an anger with your cooking. When you cook angry, I think it comes out in the food. All right, the third and final dish that we will be tasting here, and that belongs to Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer.
I think Jennifer sucks, and it makes me feel like because I don't think she has as much food knowledge as I do.
So how does it feel to be up here again?
Feels awesome. Feels really great.
All that together, it just has a really nice rustic nature. The fennel just looks wonderful. I love that you roasted it. The puff pastry, adding the textural contrast against the creaminess of the lobster mashed potatoes, all of it works beautifully.
Thank you, Chef.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Christian, why don't you have the same respect for these people that they do for you? Put the silverware down and behave like you belong in this kitchen and show these people the same respect they show you. Because if not, I'm going to personally come over there and throw you out of here. You show no respect, and I'm not going to deal with it.
Christian is very confident in his cooking, but you need to stop being a I don't think that's going to happen.
Sorry.
I love that Joe says sorry after that. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Gordon. You know, sometimes when Joe starts to go off, Gordon just bows his head down. And he's like, oh, like he's
so embarrassing.
He's embarrassed, too. Now, when they do this,
well, even Gordon's like, this is a reality cooking show. And you've got this asshole talking like it's something really important.
He takes this shit seriously. And what was that? When you do win the mystery box challenge, you get to pick what they do next. And it was pieces of pig, right? All the different parts. And
he
gave Christian pig cheeks. Was that what it was?
Right.
And that guy, Christian, was such a dick about it. You know, like, oh, he's trying to make me lose or whatever. And he actually did good. And he's like, whatever. He's just such a dick, you know.
Yeah, he was gloating. Instead of just taking the praise and going back to his station, he's got to, like, do a little dance.
He did a little dance, and he did a little shooting at 8.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's like, I'm taking you out, yo. And he's like, whatever.
Yes, you're a gunslinger,
but
douchebag.
Jennifer, she makes this meal. The girl before her made a really bad, horrible meal, too.
The Indian girl.
And then when Jennifer comes out and she made a really bad dish, Joe just rips into her and violently throws her stuff in the trash. You can just see she's just like unhinged and crying and stuff.
Was she the one that made like patties of ground pork?
Yeah, it looked really just dry. And
it's like, what the hell are you doing?
And the other one just made a pile of shit, like stacked up.
Like she ate the pork and then shat it onto the plate.
And she put cloves in it. So when Gordon tastes it, as soon as Gordon tastes it, he goes like, oh! Like,
this tastes like a cigarette.
Yeah, check this out.
I am obsessed with this idea of pairing bananas and scallops.
Ben
never thought about it before, but I can't get it out of my mind now.
Oh, I love bananas.
I really think
this
can work.
I love how they were looking over at him.
I'm doing it.
What is he doing with that banana?
Who's leaving MasterChef?
I'm going to have to say it's Susie. I think she just overachieves and she doesn't stay focused.
Right.
What are you doing? Well, I sliced the scallops really thin. I'm going to pound them out and I'm going to soak them in lemon juice for a couple of minutes. So it's going to line the plate, give it some acidity at the bottom, and then I'm going to serve that with a bit of a guac.
Have you ever pounded a scallop out before?
First time.
I've never pounded a scallop. I've been cooking for 25 years.
Right.
Okay, Susie, let's go.
Her dish looks like a baby.
What is that?
It's just a glazed pork belly, a braised cabbage, and spetzel, as well as a gravy.
Mmm.
What's
the spice in there?
I had cloves in there. Okay.
One word for that? Quite possibly the worst sauce I've ever tasted in my entire life. It's bits of chewed up dog bits of crap stuck together with, you know, soft bits of spatula at the bottom.
Tell me what you really think,
and it's
Gordon.
Revolting in terms of the raw spice and the sort of horrible, bitter taste. Be careful.
This show is called MasterChef, not Delusional Chef. What do you know about German sauces and German cuisine? This is a freaking disaster. I will not even be able to taste the dishes that I taste after this because of you. It is awful. And if it doesn't send you home, it probably should. Go back to sleep. Ugh. Ugh.
Horrible.
If Adrian's plan was to knock me out of the competition, congratulations, you just did it.
Okay, Jennifer, let's go. Right. Yeah, what is that?
It's a Pennsylvania Dutch play. It's pork and sauerkraut.
What the hell were you thinking?
It's what I grew up with, so...
So if it's that what you grew up with, then this should be mind-blowing. You don't look like you've achieved much.
All together, you have. It's all meant to go together.
Disgusting. Because that is a joke. Not impressed. And I think one of your weakest performances in this competition. I just look at that. And it looks like a pig. On my bowl.
Pig shit on his bowl.
Now I'm going to stop there. Sorry. That's a joke.
This is a great example of what garbage is. If you're going to serve us crap like that, then you're really wasting our time. And you guys, think about what we're here to do at this point in the competition. Jennifer, that is really disappointing. You are on a great trajectory, and I don't know where that leaves you, quite frankly.
Oh, my gosh. Jennifer was like... I thought she's done great in the past, and just felt bad for her. I mean, because...
Yeah, that was...
Constructive criticism, but that was like just...
Well, it was uninspired and
yeah,
bland.
I don't know what the hell she was doing. But MasterChef's a lot of fun and stuff, and I have no idea who's going to win this. If it comes down to that Christian guy, I'm going to root to whoever is against him.
Yeah, I like it. I like these episodes, like the last one, where it's the challenge and then immediately the elimination challenge.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't like the kitschy, stupid competitions with, like, the bikers.
Oh, yeah,
and
they
shit.
They did one with their moms. Mums. It's our mums, and they're going to taste. Yeah, I prefer the other stuff better than that stuff. The team tasks. But I like Ben Starr. He's really goofy. And
he's very goofy.
Does he remind you of somebody?
Huh?
Does he remind you of somebody?
Who?
Gary.
I guess a little bit, yeah.
Was Gary effeminate?
Yes.
Oh!
he's this guy we used to work with. And
are you sure you want to put this out there, Steven?
He did. Oh, he worked with us. He was a friend of ours who worked in the frame shop.
Wow.
And it just reminds me of him, you know, he's kind of gets excited like that.
Kind of what, Steven?
He gets excited like that when he talks.
Basically.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's take a break, and when we be back, when we're back, we're going to talk about the return of Hell's Kitchen, huh?
Oh, God, no.
Yes.
No.
God, yes. Oh, okay, we'll be right back.
Kid, get me out of here.
Okay, everybody, come outside. Everybody ready for a wild, wet ride?
Slip, slip and slide. You can put it on your lawn. Turn the water on, then you run, run, run. And you're sliding on your tum. Slip, slip and slide. Slip, slip and slide.
It's a lot of fun to play when the spray goes all the way.
Slip, slip and slide.
Slip and slide comes with plastic slide and fasteners from Wham-O.
Hi, Ernie. Hi, Ernie. Hey, you're a cookie.
A brand new Keebler cookie named E.L. Fudge. That's E as in everybody, L as in loves, Fudge.
Pleased to meet you.
Rich, buttery shortbread cookies shaped like an elf, then dipped in smooth, creamy fudge. Everybody's gonna love E.L. Fudge.
I never met an elf that cookie I didn't like.
That's E as in everybody, L as in loves, Fudge. New E.L. Fudge cookies from Keebler. You'll love them.
Megan, you and Sundance have the prettiest new clothes.
I love the way they go together, don't you, Sundance?
I sure do.
My little pony, Megan and Pony wear.
Dressing you up is fun to do.
Each set comes with two outfits, one for Megan and one for My Little Pony. And there are six different sets in all.
My little pony, Megan and Pony wear.
Beautiful. Just beautiful.
Megan and Pony wear sold together. Each set sold separately from Hasbro.
The night Birdie the early bird came to McDonaldland.
Ronald, open that box, please, please, I beg.
Why, inside's a wonderful egg.
So they made it a nest. Oh. Kept it warm through the night.
That egg cracked a smile.
What a beautiful sight.
Now, Ronald knew if he brought on the day, that early bird would come out.
Tell McDonaldland's where I'll stay.
It's a good time for a great day.
You betcha!
On McDonald's.
When you change into Fun Pals and Underoos underwear, you can pretend to change into a hero.
Mask wear illusion is the ultimate weapon.
By the power of Grayskull, He-Man is here.
Imagine you can change into all your favorite heroes from Superman to Thundercats with Fun Pals and Underoos underwear.
more than meets the eye. The Transformers!
With Fun Pals and Underoos, you can change into a hero.
Freddy, what are you doing up there?
Are you ready? Because once you bite into a Three Musketeers bar, there's no turning back. It's so light it lifts you to the limited chocolate taste, with a settled lips like a chocolate cloud and coated in velvet smooth chocolate. Go on, lighten up with Three Musketeers and let your spirits soar.
Here comes new Barbie Splash Cycles. You put it together, tropical Barbie doll sold separately.
We girls love to make a big splash, right, Barbie?
Splash Cycle!
It floats!
In water on the beach, no place out of reach.
Let's unpack!
Don't get afraid, off to new hideaways. We girls can do anything, right, Barbie?
Barbie Splash Cycle comes with all the beach gear you see here. Tropical Barbie doll sold separately. New from Mattel.
You're going to the dentist, but hey, you'll do okay. Cause you do your best, you brush with Crest, so now you've got it made.
Hooray!
Hooray! Hooray! You did great today!
Hooray!
You got a great, great checkup! Hip, hip, hooray! Hooray! Hooray!
The Crest pump's here to stay!
You got a great, great checkup! Hip, hip, hooray! Hooray!
Hi, I'm Joel Higgins, and I'll be right back with One to Grow On.
Post Super Golden Crisp Cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast.
Stickers. It's parts of Super Golden Crisp. Have stickers you won't want to miss.
The back that you stage your show. Make your own up video.
We say stickers.
You can collect three sets, one in each specially marked box of Super Golden Crisp cereal.
Come on, Tony. It's time to settle up and ride on out. Okay, pal, let's go. Tony, you don't make a very good horse. I bet he wouldn't treat a real cowgirl like this.
Well, how do you think your pet feels being treated like that? Well, pets are fun. They're the most loyal companions you could ever have. But you need to realize that pets are not a toy. Pets, whether they be dogs, cats, horses, or cockatoos, are just like us. Treat them with kindness, and you'll get it all back.
Okay, Tony, you're right. I didn't mean to hurt you. Can we still be pals? You wanna play Frisbee instead?
And that's One to Grow On.
What's shaking?
Cinnamon.
Toast crunch.
Cinnamon and sugar are baking up a bunch. We bake homemade paste in the cinnamon.
Toast crunch.
We're cinnamon and sugar shakers.
Wow.
We're cinnamon toast crunch bakers.
Cinnamon toast crunch cereal tastes like homemade cinnamon toast.
A toasty part of this nutritious breakfast.
Hi, Mom.
Baking homemade taste.
Tastes like homemade.
In the cinnamon toast crunch.
The sun is getting hotter.
Oh, look, is that some water? What's this crazy sigma jiggle?
It's a squiggly water wiggle. What you doing? You're a giggle.
Water wiggle.
Crazy water wiggle, you can't tell what he'll do. You think you're chasing him, then boo, he's chasing you. What you doing? You're a giggle.
Water wiggle.
She's wetting every wriggle. Water wiggle.
Water wiggle water toy. Your parents attach it to any garden hose. From Wham-O.
Keebler presents the appealing taste of baked potato skins in a crispy, crunchy chip.
Potato skins got baked potato appeal, cause they're made with potatoes and skins that are real.
The Keebler elves make potato skins with real potatoes and real potato skins for a flavor with whole baked potato appeal.
Cheddar cheese and bacon, sour cream and chives, tasty baked potato, you won't believe your eyes. They're made with potatoes and skins that are real. Potato skins from Keebler, baked potato appeal. He's so cute.
Doolang, doolang.
And he drinks double brew.
Doolang, doolang.
The newest high.
wonderful to me.
Double cool, double fruit.
Now I really want to shout it.
Real fruit taste and vitamin C.
Double cool, double fruit.
It's for him and for me.
Double fruit, cool, double fruit. Come on, see.
It's almost as if robots made this.
Excuse me? All right, Bill, we're back.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to talk about Hell's Kitchen.
No, we're not.
And I had to go way back to the very first episode because something hilarious happened in the very beginning. All the contestants arrive by bus. They arrive at the Orpheum Theater.
Ah.
Which is really exciting because it's featuring the contestants of Hell's Kitchen. And there's a huge crowd out there. You can hear them cheering and chanting for the Hell's Kitchen people. And let's see what happens because I thought it was pretty hilarious and just ridiculous.
While the chefs are anxious to have their first taste of Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen, what?
Chef Ramsay has decided to give them an unexpected detour.
We pulled up outside and it was like, welcome Hell's Kitchen chefs.
What?
Like, what is going on?
Guys, so it looks like we've arrived.
Let's go, off the bus, please. Let's go.
So excited. I was super excited and nervous, like, what's going on? Like, holy f***.
Chefs are coming through, watch please.
Watch out, hot pan. One, two, three, go to hair and makeup. Let's go.
You gonna make me look good?
All of a sudden, we're getting hair and makeup. It was insane. I mean, is this how a superstar feels? Oh my God, I love it.
You guys ready to head upstairs?
Yeah.
Good luck.
We're gonna need it. Good luck, everybody.
We can hear like a crowd in the
movement
background.
Start.
Everyone's getting so excited.
Yeah. 2 minutes. You ready?
What the hell is going on here? Like, we are not really going to cook our signature dishes for all these people.
30 seconds.
A lot of people out there might see us. Damn, this is like the real deal.
Ah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Orpheum Theater. Please put your hands together for the Hell's Kitchen Chefs.
Someone just shot all of them.
Seriously, what on earth did you expect? A packed house? A standing ovation? Screaming fans? Really? Right now, none of you are stars. Resumes mean nothing. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Got it?
Yes, sir.
Unreal.
I felt like I was getting berated. I wanted to just be like, oh, we're unworthy, we're unworthy. But then I was like, boom, back down to earth.
I'm looking for someone to emerge and prove to me that they're worthy of being called a star. Because this season of Hell's Kitchen, the winner will earn a salary of $250,000.
Yes, sir.
The winner will become the head chef in the most competitive restaurant city anywhere in the world. New York City.
You know, I know I'm from down south, but absolutely ready to handle the big time, man.
Yeah.
Such a hasty.
And in New York.
It blew my mind. It blew my mind.
The winner will become the head chef at the upscale, unique, prestigious BLT Steak. Get your asses back to Hell's Kitchen and cook me the best dish you've ever cooked. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Get out of here. Off you go. Stars, my ass.
It's just the big elaborate setup, but I love the Gordon Ramsay slow clap. The. And I was like, dude, there's a guy named Jason on the show this season. I can't wait for great drops, right?
And Steven.
And there's a Steven. And then this happens, guys.
While most of the chefs are feeling upbeat, one chef seems to have lost his rhythm.
Bro?
I'm getting like dizzy.
Relax, bro. Stop, take a breath, bro. You know?
That's all I'm doing is breathing. I don't feel good at all.
Jason looked like
So I decided to go looking for him. Hey. I helped him over to the medic.
Before I changed how I ate.
He's burning up. He needs to cool down. You can tell he's overheated. Dude's sweating a lot.
Relax. Come sit down.
I'm fine.
He needs to take it down a notch.
I just want to go cook.
I feel really weak.
How long has this been going on for?
I've been breathing like this for the past hour.
An hour? Okay.
What the hell's wrong with
you? All right.
Heart attack.
You don't really sound
I'm all right. Got oxygen mask.
It's just 1 hour before the grand reopening of Hell's Kitchen.
All right.
You don't really sound all right.
And it appears as though the blue team may be one man down.
Why do my arms feel like weak?
Because you're breathing all crazy.
I'm like, what the hell is he having? A heart attack or something? That wasn't looking too good for him.
Get your ass up and start cooking
right now, bro, all right? 100% I care about Jason's well-being. But regardless, we can't sit there and harp on it because we still have a service to put out. This is what a kitchen's about, man. We got
both
of you guys.
Thanks
for your concern.
Gotcha. I'm fine.
There you go. Why don't we take some of the stuff off you since they're very well?
It's only my left arm.
I'm fine. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be like twice on one. I'm just really pissed off.
I hope he's okay. So
minutes
we
before
can
service,
drops,
Jason
right?
is rushed to the hospital, and Chef Ramsay lets the chefs in on his status.
Right, listen carefully, please. Not good news. Unfortunately, Jason's been taken to the hospital. He'll be on a few days of bed rest. He will not be returning back to Hell's Kitchen.
Damn, like, we didn't even really get out of the gates, and then, like, we're down a man. Like, how the hell that happened?
I trust the rest of you are ready to go, yes?
Yes! Yeah.
Well, okay.
What Chef Ramsay didn't tell them was that he died in the ambulance so, on the way to the hospital.
So I'm like, well, we still got Steven. We got plenty of Steven drops. And then the first guy eliminated, Steven.
This guy, he didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground.
How do they get on the show and they just don't know anything? I don't get it. But, okay, there's the girl Elise on the show, Bill.
I want to punch her in the mouth.
She drives me crazy. Because she's the know-it-all. She knows everything. She talks shit to everybody.
She's arrogant. She doesn't even deserve to be arrogant because she's an idiot.
And then there's like she's talking shit to is the girl Andy, the assistant sous chef?
Oh yeah.
There's Chef Scott and then Chef Andy, and she was talking shit to her too. And then Monterey starts talking shit to Chef Scott,
Monterey's parents need slapped because that's not how you spell Monterey.
Monterey.
There's like they put like three R's.
I gotta see next time. Yeah. Oh my god! So hey, let's check this out when everyone freaks out. And the best part is at the end of the episode, Bill, when Elise, who's that girl she hates? I forget her name. Like
Carrie.
She's like, ask anybody, Carrie or me. They'll say Carrie. They want Carrigan. Just do it, Chef Ramsay. He's like, all right, well, let's take a vote. I love it. So let's check this out.
While the blue team seems focused and united, in the red kitchen, Elise.
That's all we have?
Yeah, that was everything you gave
us. That's why I put eight heads on it, because it cooked down.
Like, could you stop talking to me like I'm your child?
Has found someone else to agitate.
Whatever.
You need to calm down.
I am calm. I'm just saying
that. You're always talking back to me. You don't need to talk back to me. I'm here. You're here. Get it straight. Hello?
I heard you.
You're so disrespectful.
This is the first time I smiled all day.
And now, Chef Ramsay is looking to Monterey to deliver the first entrees.
Cod bass.
Oh, sea bass falling apart.
Sea bass is what?
Sea bass fall apart.
Oh, boy.
Stop. When you take the fish out of the pan, you leave it on the spatula.
It fell apart. There's nothing I can do. It fell apart.
You leave it on the spatula. Is that what you did?
No, it's not.
No, you didn't. So it's the fish's fault again.
No, it's not. It fell apart. It's nothing I can do. It fell apart.
There is something you can do because you should be responsible enough to care. You're going to lie to my face and tell me there's nothing you can do.
I understand what he's telling me, and I'm listening to him, but you ain't going to keep cussing at me. I'm going to who you are. Chef Ramsay, Chef Scott, Chef Andy. You ain't going to keep talking to me like that.
So don't sit here and tell me that there's nothing you can do.
I'm putting it on.
Shut up!
And Monterey has decided to go toe-to-toe with sous chef Scott.
All you have to do is bring it up.
I understand.
And you won't break.
I understand.
Do you? Then do it. Then do it.
Then it's done then.
You.
Well, you too then.
Dog, when you got too much pride and you want to stand there and cuss Chef Scott, that's the
that needs to go home.
Pass me some goosenecks, please.
Now just shut him down and sit his ass home right now. That's a done deal.
Monterey, why should you stay in Hell's Kitchen?
I love that guy.
I know I'm a strong cook. I just had a bad night tonight.
You look so out of it. And you weren't even responding to the help that was being given. You just shut down.
I don't believe I shut down. I won't say that I gave up, because that's the last thing I do.
You shut down.
I didn't shut down, Chef. I don't care what you say, he say, or anybody else in back of me say. I don't care.
Annalise, she is not a team player at all.
I have stepped up my game every service, every challenge. I've gotten better. If you ask my team who they'd rather see lead between me and Carrie, I'm sure the answer will be Carrie.
Elizabeth, if you had to drop Elise or Carrie, who would you drop?
Carrie, Chef.
Jamie.
Elise, Chef.
Krupa, who would you have dropped?
Elise as well.
Jennifer, who would you drop?
Elise.
Gina.
Elise, Chef.
Natalie, you were in the red team. Who would you send home, Elise or Kerry?
Elise, Chef.
No hesitation there. Elise, I did what you asked. I took a vote. Here's the sad news for you. Your team want you out of there so badly, you may be better off, Elise. Stop crying. Get back in line. The person leaving Hell's Kitchen is Chino. Please write your buddy.
Chino.
Give me your jacket.
An Asian guy named Chino.
Named after pants. Wow.
I mean, this guy couldn't look more Asian, and his name is Chino.
He couldn't cook anything.
No, he was an idiot.
How hilarious.
I loved whenever they were doing a rehearsal, and he kept making up excuses like, I need 1 minute. No, I need 3 minutes. They're like what's the point of a rehearsal?
What's wrong with this guy? And I love that they had the Olympians there and tables and watching. None of them got to eat anything. They all just sat there watching, and they never got served their dinner.
Honestly, when there's auditions or tapes or whatever for Hell's Kitchen, I honestly think that it's a must that you have to be in some way mentally incapacitated to get on the show.
After they sent them all away, Chef Scott and Andy cooked the two Olympians.
Oh,
their meals.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So at least they got to eat something.
There you go.
Because the one guy served the girl like a Caesar salad that was just drenched in the dressing. She's like, I can't eat this.
Carrie from Super 8.
And I love, what does the guy have tattooed on his forehead?
Rock and roll?
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll, man.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, man. Another person I wouldn't eat a meal from. They come at you with tattoos like that. But,
why would you say tattoo on your forehead? What the hell? Good God.
Take that right back to the kitchen, dude. I'm not going to eat it.
They are disasters. There's some fun. That one guy who got kicked out. What was that guy's name? He made out with Carrie or something. Like they went back to the room. Yeah, Brandon.
He comes from an affluential family.
Yeah,
doctors, lawyers.
I love the guy who's really cocky and everything. And
Will.
He just sucks. Yeah. You know? Love it.
They all suck. And what drives me crazy every year on this show is none of them watch it. You know, if you're going on Hell's Kitchen and you can cook, you keep your head down, you cook your stuff, you bring it up, you know, you follow the rules, you pay attention, you talk to people, and then it's just it's not that hard to win. It's probably the easiest competition on television to win.
It's almost like none of them have ever really worked in a kitchen before where they've had to call out.
Oh, I think that's a prerequisite.
Well, it's like
they say they have.
Do you think Monterey ever has a chance of winning if he can't even accept that he screwed up? He's like, no, I didn't quit.
He's not listening. And I think that's what drove Chef Scott crazy. And I'm listening to the clip going, will you just shut up and listen?
Yeah.
Yep. It's not my fault. The fish fell apart. It's the fish's fault.
Yeah, even
fault.
I got what he's saying. He leave the fish on the spatula, bring it over like that.
Yeah.
Don't set it on the plate or whatever.
But it fell apart.
Yeah, he's like,
damn, like.
Huh?
And the other thing, like, Monterey has his hat down so low that his ears.
They're sticking out like elf ears.
it's like he's from Rivendell.
Like, how the hell that happened?
He's a crazy guy.
It's a black elf.
Jason is rushed to the hospital.
Oh, my God. What?
What's wrong with Jason?
Jason looked like
hey. All right.
That guy had a heart attack.
He's dead. He had swelling of the sac. All right, guys. Rocco's Dinner Party. Have you guys been watching that show?
This show is so douche-tastic.
I love this douche-tastic show. I'm always so entertained about it. There's this girl, I think it was, last week's, where this crazy Italian mother, she was on there, Bill.
Yeah.
Think of his Grace, Cake Boss's sister.
You're not talking to me right.
Whenever you win the first part, your signature dish, whenever you get past that part, you get to decorate your own dining room. You know, Rocco has three in his house. It's pretty cool. She comes up with the craziest shit for her her description cracked me up. And I just got to play this. This is hilarious.
Other chefs, they're going to see me as this housewife with five kids who doesn't know what the heck she's doing. But let me tell you something. They should be scared because they do not know what I am capable of. Nobody knows what I'm capable of.
So you chose this dining room.
I'm a formal dining room kind of girl. My design plan is, well, since it's French, it's obviously going to be Frenchy.
What are you thinking in terms of ambiance?
Romance, but not like in a lovery kind of way.
Okay.
It's intimate. You know, dim lighting, like woman's bedroomy, soft, like when you squeeze a mushy ass.
When you squeeze a mushy cat person.
Yeah.
What?
You know, fleshy.
Fleshy.
You know?
I felt like I was trying to catch a flea.
Kind of like Paris in the 20s, decadent and almost gluttonous, but not in a Henry VIII turkey leg kind of way.
She shouted out a lot of crazy specifics, but none of them went together.
You know, fruits and things that look succulent, like a fat guy nude or something and a big chunky lady on the wall.
Oh.
She wants to go to the Renaissance Fair in France.
That would be my challenge.
What we asked them to do was create a French theme. We gave them Julia Child's book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. We asked them to pick their favorite recipes, reinvent them, give them a personal twist.
I eat fish. I just don't eat meat.
So she served you gnocchi with bacon anyway. How do you feel about the fact that...
I'm incensed.
Natalie?
Yeah?
Did you serve Marcy Bloom gnocchi with bacon?
No. Here's her pasta right here. Like, how could this happen? I mean, this is horrible.
Can you finish this?
Yes.
Do you need me to finish it for you?
No.
I'm so pissed off, you have no idea.
Now, somebody apparently went out. I don't know which one did it. Why are you over there? I'm talking. I don't know which one did it, but
she's yelling at the
whatever
waiters.
The guest wants, the guest gets. That's the most important thing. So she could be an Orthodox Jew. I do not know, but we gave her pork. That would be very, very bad. It would be, like, devastating.
Marcy, you finally got your first course.
I did.
Congratulations. Everybody else, you're out of luck. Nothing to eat for you.
Who's laughing at that?
But Michael Ian Black was on that episode. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that his title was Michael Ian Black, Mike and Tom Eat Snacks.
His podcast was his credit. I thought that was great. Awesome. Now, on the second episode, this chick who's worked with a certain chef, she still works with some high-end chefs, Bill. She's making her signature dish. And I love this. When Rocco tastes the dishes, he is so specific about what's good or bad about them. I love here. I could listen to him talk about food all day long, Bill. Let's check this out.
He's got quite a manner about him.
Morning, chefs.
Morning, chef.
Morning, chef. You guys feel all right?
Yeah, how you doing?
Feeling good.
How'd you find the kitchen? Everything you need?
Yep, it's good.
Glad to hear it. Tomorrow night, I have six friends coming over for dinner. The three of you are here because you think you've got what it takes to create a magical evening for me and my guests. Is that right?
Yes,
right.
Chef.
Definitely.
We chef. What kind of food do you cook? Fine dining?
Yes, yes.
What chefs have you worked with?
Just Jean-Georges. And also with Gordon Ramsay.
Just Jean-Georges, just Gordon Ramsay.
I'm speechless. She's working at a very high-end restaurant in New York City. It's Gordon Ramsay's restaurant, no less. She's going to clean house on both of us.
Grab your plates, bring them to the table.
Yeah, I love this music.
My plate wasn't as artistic as Janet or Kevin's was, but I serve this every day and people love it.
Chefs, thank you very much. Janet.
What's the name of your dish?
I have here a spicy Korean barbecue pork and a rice sesame crepe and a kimchi atois.
Wow, you are fancy. Three kinds of kimchi?
White cabbage kimchi, a daikon kimchi, and a cucumber kimchi. But I think people think of Korean food as very rustic, right, and home style, and I like to be able to repackage it and push it forward.
I'm a huge fan of Korean flavors. Normally, kimchi would be big chunks of crunchy pickled vegetables, smooth, tiny discs and little scoops. You completely rearranged the mouthfeel and took away the texture. Tell me about the pork inside the crepe.
I used the pork belly cut very thin to keep it tender.
Thank God this pork is in the center of this crepe because it's the only delicious thing on the plate. This pork is so good.
Thank you, Chef.
Kevin?
This is my little interpretation of shrimp and grits. Hit it with a little Pernod to give it that little anise flavor. I wanted it to be like a layering process of flavors.
It looks like a plate that would come off an assembly line at a very large restaurant. You have a big pot of grits already cooked. You have someone sauteing hundreds and hundreds of shrimp. I mean, I could see your line in my mind right now. When you cook for me and my guests, we should feel something special. Shouldn't feel like something you can get anytime, anywhere. But you know what? Very solid plate.
Thank you, Chef.
I would much rather be the Henry Ford of banging out good quality food than popping up a DeLorean for a week and then closing shop down.
Janet.
Good analogy.
Korean barbecue is normally a multi-sensual experience.
I mean, absolutely no sense.
Anything but fun. People don't want to eat puzzles. Deconstructionist cooking can confuse
a guest.
Tastes
like cardboard.
I'm talking about the average dinner party guest, not the average chef. There's a difference. But that pork was sublime. If you didn't let your intellect get in the way,
such an
you could
asshole.
Probably make infinite dishes as delicious as that pork. Kevin.
Douche test.
Nothing about your dish screamed handcrafted or refined. It's almost as if robots made this. But I'm always happy
awesome.
To have my hunches proven wrong. It's a good plate.
Thank you.
It sounded like Live and Let Die was about to start.
I've never heard so many different variations of music in one section of a television show. It goes from like guitar and then into Live and Let Die.
I'm speechless.
God, I wish you were.
What, Rocco, man, don't you love hearing him talk about food, you guys?
He opens his mouth and douche comes out.
It's almost as if robots made this.
Robot food.
That would totally eat robot food, wouldn't you, Bo?
That's kind of a William Shatner quality going on with his enunciation.
All right, guys, do you want to talk about Falling Skies? Huh?
Yes,
it's been a while. A lot has happened. We had the...
aliens.
Yeah, we had the creepy storyline of the... Okay, let's flash back to when the guy shows up who's from a different division or outfit or whatever, saying
is
that
second mass or something, or
yeah, where they found a farm where it's relatively safe, and he needs all the kids to go there. And just
he doesn't need all the kids; he wants to take all the kids first, so
they can.
It's a sanctuary.
Oh, he says that the Skitters are on their way there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
give your kids to me.
Because they're going to come for the kids.
Right. And first they're like, no way, man, that's not happening. And you can see that some of the people there have kind of started being dicks about the kids that have removed harnesses. They just are creeped out by them. Where I think it's kind of dickheaded, isn't it?
It is. I didn't like that whole little subplot with the kid that ran after Chips, the dog.
Yeah.
He didn't like Ben because Ben had spikes out of his back.
Yeah. It was like
I don't trust you. I'm not going to play soccer with you.
It was like he was weirded out by I guess the Skitter almost gets him and it weirds him out. But remember when Ben is in line for food and the guy's like, hey, just pick your food. Get out of here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, I would beat that guy down.
He must be related to Rocco.
Yeah.
Douchey.
These snacks are sublime.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to start saying
that. Who the hell uses sublime in their...
Yeah. I'm going to start saying that about everything
that
I eat.
Pork was sublime.
This is sublime. And I'm not going to talk about mouthfeel on the food I eat.
Yeah, mouthfeel is very important.
Mouthfeel. Wow. So, when this creepy guy shows up, I mean, I know I've seen this guy in other things where he's a bad guy, so I immediately did not trust him. You know, when he's like talking about, hey, let me take the kids.
They might as well have cast Tony Todd.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know if I trust this guy.
I don't like that soft ass shit.
How do you like how this shit works?
Might as well give him a hook for a hand.
Candyman. Don't say it again. Candyman. No, stop. So when a skitter and a mech shows up, that kind of scares him into, okay, yeah, we do need to send our kids. And somehow he planned that. But I think it's pretty creepy how this girl...
Well, we find out how he planned it.
Right. Where he talks about... He tells Mike this, once he gets them all to go, that this girl was taken. And then later on, she returned harness, but she was communicating for the skitters, saying, as long as you give us more children, we'll let you be here. So the guy kind of started doing that, giving all the kids away. Notice he didn't give away the guy, the their farm kids. Guy's daughter. Yeah. But it was just creepy.
That's because she was hot.
But it was creepy how the young boy, he's like, when I see my mom and dad, he goes, I'm going to come show them to you now. Come on.
Yeah. And you're going to see him in the afterlife real soon.
Yeah, and he gives them away to the aliens, and he starts getting creeped out, and they zap him. I thought that was disturbing.
Like, that was mildly disturbing.
Oh, and that...
At least his body didn't puff into smoke and his skull and
I didn't feel,
bones
I know that
ground.
That kid's parents are probably dead, but I didn't care because I thought they were assholes. Because remember, they steal
they
the medicine
steal the drugs, yeah.
And get out of there.
Oh, that, shit, you're right.
That guy was a dick, you know? He's like, oh, we're better off on our own and I could sell these. Who are you going to sell medicine to? Get the hell out of here.
As soon as you pull out a bag full of medicine, they're going to jack you for it.
Oh, and when they show up to the farm, Pope is there, and he's torturing them for information. That's how he found them. But that whole storyline was driving me nuts. But then in the second episode, when they decide to escape, and then poor Mike.
Mike.
Yes.
Mike, he redeemed himself for that. My son! And he jumped up and all that. Remember that episode?
But his son is still one of those.
His son is a punk ass. And I'm ready.
Well, I believe what Steven was trying to say was that his son is still connected to the skitters. He may not have a harness on, but the way he talks.
He acts like he's still
he
a skitter.
He misses it.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Like he talks as in, like. Pitiful humans kind of way.
Yeah, and it's almost like they're both, like him and Ben.
Ben isn't the same way, though. Ben...
But his body is, like, supercharged or something where he never gets tired and stuff.
Yeah, Ben's... Yeah, I think that's what
Either
it is.
Was
is Ben
is long as the other kid was? I mean...
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I don't know. I mean...
That I don't think that radio connection was made with Ben, maybe.
Maybe the black kid... Whatever his, maybe he was so sick and it made him better. Maybe it somehow worked even better on him. I don't know.
There was a scene. I'm sorry to jump all over the place here,
that's
but
okay.
I don't remember if we talked about the episode where they went in to rescue Ben.
Oh no, we didn't.
That, no, we didn't.
Yeah, and the brother goes in and kind of acts like he's harnessed.
Right.
And that scene where they all lay down and then the skitter kind of like sits like over them, like kind of like they're nested.
Like
and it starts stroking
like
their head.
It's like,
I was like, I was so totally creeped out by that.
It was creepy. It's petting.
I didn't know what to feel. Like these skitters are treating them like they're children. So obviously they care for them more than just as slaves. So what is that saying about the skitters and all? It like it confused me and creeped me out. I loved that.
And when they took the one kid in that earlier episode, that remember the skitter executed all the rest of the kids that were in the group. It's like it ruined the litter or something.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of weird.
So they knew that if they took one, they had to take the whole group of kids that belonged to that skitter.
And their whole captive skitter storyline was driving me nuts. So I was like, just kill the damn thing.
I was glad that when that was over.
When it killed Steven Weber.
I wonder if that's maybe a different, the other reason why that the Mike's son is acting different. They didn't take his whole group. They took all of Ben's group.
Yeah, maybe that helped with his, like, the collective.
Oh, yeah, you're
whatever.
Right. And the ones that they didn't save died.
Yeah,
right,
it kind of like they just took him from the whole mob of the litter and they killed all of them.
And they killed the skitter that controlled them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did like.
There you go. That's good. That's.
I did like when the chick wanted to see if you could kill him up close and shoved the scalpel in his mouth and killed him.
Hardcore.
That was awesome. That you can
metal.
You just shove something hard in their mouth. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
sound
you
right.
Knock, you knock them out. By, yeah. That one dude did by putting his fist in the mouth.
Yeah, the son.
No, the doctor, whatever, on the earlier episode.
Oh, right. You mean whenever he put the gun in its mouth?
Yeah, there you go. He put the gun.
And then she put the scalpel and killed him for sure.
Killed it, yeah.
But they were testing things on it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
When the doctor, I think that was all a ploy. The doctor got himself killed on purpose.
Something. He had a death wish of some kind, I thought.
Yeah.
That's the only, because I thought it was odd that he got killed like that. But I gotta. There is a moment in this most recent episode. No, it was the episode before where, when the skitter and the Met comes to their school, and I love when the globe rolls to the skitter and the skitter picks up the globe and then crushes it.
Yeah, that was subtle.
I like that. I thought
that
hilarious.
Was great.
And the kid was like freaked out. You know, he's out of bullets. And it was a great when what's his face? Will Patton blows it away point blank with his shotgun.
Yeah.
And then he hugs a kid. He's like, he's not a soldier. He's just a little kid and he's scared shitless.
I love Will Patton.
He thought he was he's tough. Always good. The kid thought he was tough enough. And
you want a war, postman?
Will Patton, one of my favorite books ever is A Last Babylon. It's a kind of a post-apocalyptic story about a group of people that kind of band together after the nuclear holocaust. And Will Patton, they released a new audiobook version of it where Will Patton does the narration. And he's so good. He does that stuff really, really well. I'm always, even when he's in shit, I'm impressed by it.
Yeah.
I think he was the bad guy in Roadhouse 2, and he was even good in that.
He has the best line in Armageddon where he goes, what are you doing with a gun in space?
Gun on space.
He's great. But
I forgot about that.
I have a clip here where basically Noah Wiley's character, he's like, where the hell are my kids? You know, I thought they were going to be at this place, and they're not. What the hell's going on?
Something fishy.
And then he sees Ben, and this happens. Let's check it out. Oh, and his older son has escaped, and they're hiding in a house. When the girls started playing piano, I was kind of like, shut up. Be quiet.
Exactly.
Go hide in an attic or something. What the hell are you? Hey,
what's
let's play.
You, man, Frank?
Let's play Battleship, you know? And they're like, they're going to find you in 2 seconds, you dumbasses.
Yeah, didn't they say, like, in one of the earlier episodes that the skitter ships operate off, like, vibration or something where they can locate people?
I think it's a heat. I know that
much.
Oh,
okay. Maybe it was heat. I don't know.
I do know, like, if people
still
are
stupid to be playing piano.
Yeah, if people are hunting you with guns around a neighborhood and it's completely silent because there's no traffic or anything, and then you're like playing dun 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 dun. I hear chopsticks,
chopsticks
in the distance.
Somebody starts playing Heart and Soul.
Just playing Beethoven.
Let's check this out.
This war is coming. It's taking a sweet time. Looks like Ben.
Ben!
Dad!
Where's Hal and Matt?
They're with the others, but they don't know Clayton's coming.
You're not at the sanctuary.
No. Mike said it wasn't safe, so we left. They started shooting at us.
Who was shooting at you? Clayton?
Dad. I think Mike's dead.
Is anybody else hurt?
No, I don't know.
You're okay. Dad's gonna take you back, but first I need you to tell me everything.
I think the music has gotten better with
Good
each
morning.
Episode of the show.
It has.
They found us.
Quiet. Come on out. We're taking you home.
Hang out.
You know, I actually thought of buying in this neighborhood once upon a time.
This guy turned really creepy.
We'll make me come in there for you, Hal. Nobody wants to see anybody else get hurt. We know about your deal. It's alive.
Yeah, well, there's a term in war. Acceptable losses. So if one of your friends gets hurt or killed, I can live with that. Can you?
Go to hell! Get out of the tree!
It's on, Clayton. Not good.
What are we going to do now?
I'm going to try to hold him off. You take him out the back.
Take out the shooter and the rest will walk out. Right. Line on him. Take your shot.
Get your damn head down, kid! Hey, Clayton! I got Skinner deal working now, huh?
Watch your house.
Nail that son of a bitch!
Nice gunplay.
Give it up, Pope!
I was like, yeah, Pope's there to help him and stuff. And it drove me nuts when Noah Wiley's like, we got to just give up. And I was like, what? What the hell is he doing?
You got Pope there. Come on. Pope's awesome.
And they all give up and they take him back to the thing. And I love that Will Patton was there hiding with the other guys. Because yeah. I was like, this is pissing me off. Why did he come to save the day and he just gave up, you know? And then I love when the guy goes, well, you know, that's great and all until, yeah, and he pulls out a gun and then Noah Wiley shoots him. I love that he started his monologue on how you guys are going to let me just walk out of here because I have a gun to his head. And they shot a mid-sentence before any of that cliche happened, you know. I thought that was great.
Yeah, why don't you tell us your whole plan? Yeah.
It's like, we're going to shut you up before you say a word.
Just give us a little time.
So does it seem to you guys that they've been killing less aliens and more humans lately?
Yeah.
And then the black kid's like, you humans, you just kill each other. It's like, dude, what are you smoking? You're human,
yeah,
too.
You're. What about you with your friggin' ray guns?
Yeah. You guys are assholes.
You're killing kids.
So I want to know where this is going with this whole kid thing. It's creepy. They want the kids and they... like, or like cooing them and.
Oh. That's so creepy.
It's like, what do they do when they finish, you know, harvesting the planet with the
because
kids?
Because they're,
you know,
using kids as manual labor, too. You know, they're slaves. But it was so creepy that they used the girl to talk for them. That's creepy. I want to know where this is going because aren't there two more episodes left? And we know it's
been... and then we get a second season, though, next year. So.
Yeah, but it's a fun show. And it's nice and violent. I like when there's gunplay and stuff.
Yeah, it can be surprisingly violent.
So good stuff. You're going to be a lot more skeptical about, you know, people coming, well, we need to take your kids.
Yeah, like, yeah, we need, it's like, you're not taking my kids.
You're
it's,
not doing nothing. In fact.
Yeah, I thought that it was creepy. They killed the two guard guys out back, too. You know, they just hid their bodies in the leaves or something. All right, guys, Entourage has returned. Have you guys watched the premiere, huh?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yeah.
You know what made me groan most of all? When you find out that Eric and Sloan have broken up again. I was like, oh, come on. Jesus.
The groaner is
the groaner?
Is what Johnny keeps wanting to hide everything and freaking out.
It's he's freaking out because
replacing alcohol with fake alcohol.
Yeah. I just wanted to punch him. It's just like, just stop it.
Vince is coming.
The neurotic quality. It's just
you always
these
have to
characters have overstayed their welcome.
You have to have Johnny going nuts, right?
And Johnny's bananas.
I almost like Doug Ellen the way he writes, like. Vince is giving a speech like, yes, I'm an addict and whatever. I'm starting a new life. And the girl's like, you're hot, Vince. She's like, she's ready to do him right there.
Yeah, right
I'm like,
there.
Like, that's Doug Ellen's writing right there for you.
I even lives saw in this Hollywood dream world.
Yeah. And I love
everyone wants to have sex with everyone right away.
You get laid at any time.
Yeah.
And who knew it? Turtle could get all in shape and slender, and he's still
annoying as hell.
Annoying as hell, and whatever. He's a big spaz.
I don't think there's a single redeemable character on the entire horrible show.
It's just Entourage.
And
then
Scott Conn, jeez.
He's still there.
Well, Scott Conn just needs to go away.
It's like, dude, you're on Hawaii 5-0. Why are you still on here?
God, he's awful. And then, for some reason, someone thought it would be a good idea to hire someone's child to be Ari's kid to deliver awful dialogue.
It's a funny stuff.
In the most wooden and stilted way ever.
I guess it's the whole thing is to me, Ari trying to win his wife back in the final season. And then we have this thing here where Vince, he's going to eat with everybody, and he pitches his little movie idea.
Oh, yes, his Romanian miners.
I kept going, M-O-W.
Because, you know, that was really, that really brought the comedy. I was really laughing when everyone was talking about how awful it was.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
Let's check this out.
Genius.
So, what's up with you guys, huh?
Nothing's up with these guys. What are you talking about? They've been frozen like Ted Williams waiting for the return of their life. And now that it has returned, let's get back to it.
Okay, what's up? All right, well, let's start with Airwalker. Am I out?
Vince, it's not 07, all right? They've been waiting for you.
That's great.
But you are going to have to submit the drug test. And it's not the studio. It's just an insurance thing.
It's not a problem.
Great.
So when do I shoot?
Start March in Europe.
And in the meantime?
In the meantime, we are going to find something for you.
Actually, I have something.
You do?
I watched a lot of news when I was in there.
Oh, that's depressing.
Not always. Did you guys get caught up in that whole mining disaster? 15 guys stuck underground for a month.
Yeah, in Chile. That was like a year ago.
This wasn't Chile. It was Romania.
These things happen bi-monthly.
I mean, it was riveting. I mean, I felt like these guys. Cut off from all my friends and family for 3 months. I mean, I didn't talk to anyone until yesterday.
And you pretty much spoke to everyone, huh?
The main character is an American. Mortgages his house smuggles his Labrador into Romania to dig for survivors.
Anyway, Vince is a real deep guy.
I really think there's a movie in this.
So awful. It
could be.
Yeah, totally.
A movie for you? I mean, it could be great, don't you think?
Why? I mean, there's just not a whole lot of time between now and March, Vince.
And I want to direct it, too. I'm going to go to the bathroom. Johnny, order me something good, huh?
You got it, bro.
So now he wants to direct Vince, you out of nowhere.
Directing? A Labrador?
I take it easy.
I am easy. I just want to make sure that we all have our senses here, because he's pitching a Lifetime movie that should be starring the Marley and Me dog, not him. And a bunch of dummies are drooling like he's selling Avatar.
No one drooled.
I didn't hear you say anything negative either.
I said it with my eyes, all right? Listen, somebody's got to talk to him.
Nobody's talking to him today. He needs time to acclimate.
We don't have any time. We got to get him back on track and fast.
Did you guys groan as much as I did when Turtle sets the house on fire?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, he sets the house
on
fire.
It's a new beginning. So now what are we going to do?
And then the part where they're like, come quick, Vince, he's having a heart attack or something. I just gave him a little bit of blow. And they go in there and he's like, see, guys, I'm fine. I told you. And then they have to break it to him that his idea is awful. It's like some bad movie of the week. And he goes, well, that's fine. I'll do a movie of the week. And we'll do it. We'll write it for Johnny. And it's like, okay. And did you see? I saw scenes too next week where Andrew Dice Clay, does the voices of the other character.
Johnny's neighbor.
Johnny Bananas.
Johnny Bananas' neighbor. Yes. Well, that cartoon was such a great thing.
Final season of Entourage. Woohoo! Yeah!
Final season. We need to get someone big on. How about Andrew Dice Clay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They had to get another New York boy in there.
When they had their...
Hickory dickory dock.
When they had their party of people who were all sober, and they had all the hot chicks show up who were sober.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of funny that they were sober chicks or whatever, but whatever. There's nothing much going on.
You liked the scene where Billy Walsh has a busload of women and knows them all by name?
Yes. It reminded me of Revenge of the Nerds. You know, they keep walking in the door.
God, this show's bad. It's just bad.
It's the final season. Let's see if they can top Smallville's final season. That's all I say.
Well, if we can get a guy that watches the finale and screams like,
oh, yeah! You know, when he mentioned Airwalker, I was like, please don't make us have to hear that stupid name ever again. Airwalker, shut up.
I've known the shoes Airwalk.
Yeah, Airwalk shoes. Remember last year it was some kind of superhero thing that...
Was that the Randall Cameron. Wallace thing?
Randall Wallace was going to do it.
Okay.
Remember James Cameron did Aquaman.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about a Bill. Now, there's been several episodes of True Blood now. Have you have you liked more elements of the season yet?
Not really. I'm just kind of like going along with it. It's still, you know, it's just not... I guess I want more supernatural stuff. The witch thing annoys the hell out of me.
The witch thing I think is interesting. How I like how Eric now has no memory. I thought that was kind of cool. Erased his memory. But I loved when Pam was made to look aged.
Yeah, I like that.
Her character is so mean and cruel. It was just great seeing her taken down a notch, you know, and her rotting face.
It's just the whole witch being possessed by another ancient witch that supposedly was responsible for some vampire thing 4,000 years ago. It's just all a little overly complicated, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. But here's what I like, Bill. And I think it's funny because it's very subtle in the storyline. Is Terry and Arlene, the baby who was Renee's son.
Yes.
But I'm blaming it on the creepy doll. The creepy demon doll they found in the trash or something. It is so creepy looking.
It's Chucky. And
they think like it's worse than Chucky because it looks all burnt and
it's
old.
It's ancient and
there's one point where the baby's holding it and it's so creepy looking. And they suspect it's Renee's ghost, but I think it's the doll.
Because it didn't belong to the what's her name, the redheaded girl.
Remember, yeah, Jessica has it, and he's like, I threw it in the dump. It was gone for good. I don't know how it turned up again. And then they give it to Arlene, which I think is hilarious. And so now it's stuck there at their house. And there's this great scene here, and I just love Terry. And this scene cracked me up, his dialogue here. Because in the previous episode, Terry's talking to his boy and he's like, I'm going to teach you how to hunt and fish and all this. And he writes on the marker, you think the baby does, not your son. And it freaks
not
him
your
out.
Baby.
Yeah, not your baby. So here's them freaking out about it. This is funny.
Come on, Arlene. I don't even know what it means.
What do you think it means? It means Renee is coming back to take Mikey.
Renee's dead. Do you really think a ghost picked up a magic marker and wrote on a wall?
Well, do you think a baby did? I ain't gonna let Renee hurt my child. You hear me, Renee? You keep your ghost hands off my baby. God help us, Terry.
That's it. We need to ask God for help.
Well, I've been praying to him every night, but apparently my prayers go straight to his voicemail.
I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about getting a real live man of God in here to shoo the evil away. Like in Poltergeist. Cleanse the house.
Oh, you've been to church in forever.
Cleanse the house.
We might end up pissing God off, looking like them Christians who only turn to him when they need something.
Don't sell God short, okay? He loves love, and we got a lot of love in this family.
Well, then call the reverend. You hear that, Renee? God's coming for you.
And I love that it was Tara's mom and the pastor show up and they're... What was that?
Sage. They were burning sage.
And she's like, this will get rid of them demons. No, it's not demons. It's ghosts. And she's like, all right, it works for ghosts too.
And the Terry and Renee stuff, or the Terry and what's her name?
Arlene
stuff cracks me
and
up.
And it's that I can't wait to see the more of the demon doll or devil doll, whatever that is. That's hilarious. And when Tommy's dad had him around the neck with a chain, I'm so glad he killed his parents. I know it's horrible to say, but even the mom was horrible.
Well, it's just that storyline is now done.
Right.
When he went back there, I was just like, no.
Don't go back there. And I love that Sam, he threw marshmallows in the water. He goes, well, gators love marshmallows. I was like, I did not know that. It's good to know. Never eat marshmallows around a swamp, Steven.
Don't roast marshmallows. Don't put them in your pockets.
But the Arlene stuff and the devil doll, that cracked me up. But what did you guys think about Jason's sex dream with Jessica? And then...
That was really creepy.
Then Hoyt shows up and ruins the whole thing, doesn't he?
Young lady and then Hoyt.
I'm so glad Jason is out of... what was that place called? It's such a
Hot Shot.
Oh, my God. All that storyline was driving me crazy.
Were Panthers.
And I love when he killed that guy with the stick. I was like, yeah.
Stabbed him in the neck, yeah.
Because I like
the
Jason a lot.
Ghost daddy thing, and all, that was just really just
yeah, when they,
awful.
When he was strapped to the bed being chewed on by both of them.
And he was being raped repeatedly by all the women. That is creepy. But the best
they
thing.
They send in the young girl to do it.
Yeah, disturbing. And Jason's best thing on the show is that he's so funny. His lines, he's so dim-witted and stuff. So when you have him in a position where he can't be funny, I think it really hurts. And also, he plays off Andy well. When Andy's alone just jonesing on V, it's not working for me.
No.
You need to get Andy.
When did the Andy addicted to V thing start?
On the very last episode of last season, he's, you know, all banged up and he's got a broken arm and you see he has all the V that he's confiscated.
Oh, yeah,
Hawkeye.
That's right.
He just
kind
of looks at it. That was like a hint, you know, foreshadowing.
All right, 'cause I thought that was like out of nowhere.
So now, you know, he's addicted, but they need to do something with that storyline.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, and Bill can't have sex with his friend anymore because she's...
Right.
His great-great-granddaughter.
That's something that I knew from the books, and I was wondering why they didn't bring that up last season, but that they brought that up now. I was like, oh, okay, finally they introduced something that's in the books, because I think they veered off all that shit.
Oh, really?
I'm wondering why the werewolf guy's in the show now, too. And then the creepy Packmaster shows up to his house. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah, Alcide.
Alcide's going to be more in the
show. Well, you know why Alcide's on it, because he's attractive and...
He takes off all his clothes now. He takes off all his clothes and women swoon.
Exactly.
And guys are like, dude,
let me look
at my watch for a second. But yeah, that's True Blood. Is there any new shows coming up, or are we pretty much done with the new shows this summer?
I think we're done.
I saw a commercial for Top Chef Desserts, guys. Remember what a train wreck that was last season? But it doesn't come on to like August 27th or some shit like that. Oh, what do you guys think of Alphas? Have you guys been watching that?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It hasn't quite hit its stride yet, but
about it.
It's still it's still getting some momentum.
Week to week, I'm interested. I like David Strathairn. He's always good and stuff.
He is great on that. And I think I like the playoff of the characters. I like when they're all bickering. The kid who's autistic, he's always driving the black dude nuts.
Yeah, the black dude I'm not too sure about just yet. It just seems like, I don't know, he's kind of a goofy power and he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, I like
that. I'm trying to wrap my mind around the whole idea. Like, in the first episode, it was really difficult for him, or it took a lot of stress on him just to do certain things.
He
has to move the car out of the way.
He has an instant adrenaline rush.
Yeah,
but if
he can only do so much before his heart's going to explode.
He spikes, and he has to stop.
Yeah, but as the episodes continue, it seems like he's able to do more and more.
Well, you know why that is. It's because on a pilot episode, they kind of change things after that.
It's like kind of abandoning the whole, now he just has super strength. It has nothing to do with his heart.
Right. And
I can see where that would get old, like having to him, like he can only do so much for a limited time. Like,
well, also, he hasn't really had to use his super strength.
You've got 5 minutes to use your
well,
super strength.
He hasn't had to use it as much as he did in that first episode anyway, though.
Well, I'm just saying, but you know.
His most recent episode, he's just carrying a cooler filled with, one of those coin-operated pop machines.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
Well, I guess he could still do that, and he just if he did it for too long, he would spike or whatever.
But like you said, if he had to keep, okay, let's turn the timer, you know, I've only got 5 minutes or whatever, 10 minutes if you want to say, however long he has, and whenever, if they had to do that every episode, it would be like...
I think they're, it hasn't hit its stride yet. They're still trying to figure out the rules.
I like the girl who manipulates people with her mind. I like her.
She's a very attractive young lady.
I like the whole idea.
She doesn't need the power.
What I like about her character is she always has a new fancy car, and she's like, I borrowed it.
I borrowed it, yeah.
She can just have whatever she wants, you know? And how about the most recent episode with the guy who, you don't know it till the end, but it's a guy who gives off a pheromone that makes everyone riot and go freaking.
That was so violent and disturbing.
Did you see that episode?
I didn't see that one.
They think it's a girl, and they track down who they think is her brother, and he's there in the agency with them, And the FBI guy, the guy from Battlestar Galactica, shows up, Leoben, you know, and he's being a dick. And the guy gets excited, so he releases his pheromone, and all of them go nuts and start beating on each other. And the other FBI agent takes a chair and starts smashing it on Leoben repeatedly.
Yeah, in the point of view with, like, the camera going red and yeah. the sounds, it sounded squishy.
I felt like I was watching just insanity, you know?
Yeah.
How they're all just pounding each other. And I love the Indian girl who's very kind of reserved. She was on the phone with her mom at the time, and she's sort of like, I hate you, and I never want to see you again. She's, like, yelling at her mom on the phone and stuff. Things she can never take back from her mom. But that
was cool that the black guy wasn't affected by it because of the fight or flight response.
Right. That was very cool. And I like the character of Hicks, how he's like got these badass reflexes and stuff, but he doubts everything about himself. So he's trying to work on himself. But I'm ready for him to be a badass now, Bill.
Yeah, I'm ready for him to get past his past, his like mysterious hang-ups and everything, and just kind of start being cool.
Yeah, I want to see, because I liked in the first episode how they established there was like this sect of alphas that had their own agenda, you know?
Rebel alphas.
Right, and now there's these imprisoned alphas we know of in this Binghamton, is that where it is?
Yeah, Binghamton.
And you can hear screaming and stuff in the background, like they're doing some kind of experiments on these alphas, and I like that they're like developing this little mythologies going on in different places, so... You know, it's only been three episodes, but I want to see more mythology.
It wasn't even in the first episode where after they got the one guy, he said, you're on the wrong side.
Yeah, right before he died.
Yeah, so they're building a cool mythology. There's definitely something going on. And with these alphas are really kind of independent. I mean, it's a government supported, but I think once the Stratheran character starts to figure out that some nasty shit's going on in Binghamton. Maybe they'll start hooking up with the rebel alphas.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if, like, by the finale, like, they're on the run from the government or something.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, already, the show is much more interesting than Heroes is. Heroes is a different kind of storyline that they wanted to be gigantic. Here on Alphas, they're not going crazy. No. They're just...
They know their limits because of their budget.
Yeah.
It's sci-fi. You can only do so much.
So it's almost like procedural kind of what they handle each week, but they have an overall mythology they're also doing, which I think is cool.
But they're establishing the characters really well.
Yeah, I think so too. And the kid who is always talking about the buzzing sound and stuff.
Being genius. I love that entire little subplot of the microwave tower buzzing.
Yeah, and I almost thought, I wonder if that what he's hearing is like some kind of somebody's listening in on them
another
or something.
Signal or something.
You know, yeah. I was kind of hoping they would play the buzzing. I almost thought of it as kind of like, you know, if your phone's next to a speaker and that signal goes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah. I was just wondering what that was like. But that's probably that's the coolest power, to be able to tap into all those.
He doesn't even need a smartphone.
No, he doesn't even need a TV. He can watch TV in his mind.
I like how he's looking at the table and stuff, and he's like asking Hicks, like, your son said, and he goes, stop reading my text.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
What's a South Pole?
Yeah, what's a South Pole? Stop reading that. All right, that's office. Bill, you ready to do some news?
Yeah, let's do some news.
All right, let's do the news.
Sublime.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
And we're going to have to do this fast. My throat is starting to kill me. I'm not used to this talking.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Bill.
No, don't apologize. It's okay.
Like a poltergeist.
Yes, it's a poltergeist in my throat. I'm possessed. All right, a Dunkin' Donuts employee is accused of giving customers free food and coffee and stealing leftover donuts, sandwiches, and cheese at night, some of which he gave to cab drivers in exchange for rides home.
Nice.
You know what? They're just going to throw it away.
Yeah.
Rafael A. Morales, 31, was arrested Wednesday and charged with grand theft. According to the Pasco County Sheriff's Office, Morales stole and gave away more than $300 in goods within a three-day period in July. Morales told investigators he offered value customers free coffee, buy one, get one free donuts, because it's a good way to keep customers coming back. The manager at the Little Road Shop told Sheriff that all unsold items must be thrown away at the end of the evening, but Morales told authorities he took these extra items home for his infant and wife. Now, Rafael stated he was unaware that the goods he took stated he was unaware that the goods he took and gave away totaled $300 in just 3 days. He's being held on $2,000 bail. I think that sucks.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I mean, that's just a dick move on the manager's part. What should be happening here, if the manager was an actual manager, at the end of the day, when you have extra items, you don't throw them away. You give them to the local mission or the homeless shelter.
Right.
Stuff like that. You don't just throw food away.
You'll be sorry.
And this guy saw that, and he used it for his own gain. Yeah, but still, to be arrested for it, that's just... What an asshole.
Oh, it's depressing.
It is depressing. Butte, Montana woman arrested for threatening a man with a baseball bat and a gun in June was spared jail time Thursday by pleading guilty to a lesser charge. This lady has the most appropriate last name ever. Holly Batterman. 36
Batterman.
Received Batterman. And she
this
likes...
is bullshit, man.
No, Batterman. Received a deferred sentence of 6 months in jail and reduced charge of misdemeanor assault. The deferred sentence means she won't have to go to jail as long as she stays out of trouble over the next 6 months. She was arrested for pointing a gun at a man during an argument outside her residence. The police report indicated she first swung a baseball bat, but he took it from her. She then went in the house and came out with an unloaded handgun. I'm sorry, when a woman's last name is Batterman, I think you should expect the worst.
Totally.
Natick, Massachusetts. Massachusetts man said he's touring the region's hot dog eateries on his quest to eat a Frankfurter a day for 31 days.
Really?
If this is probably what I would have done before watching Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. Instead of a juice fast, a hot dog fast. Rob Merlino, 47, of Natick, said he was celebrating July's National Hot Dog Month by having one hot dog for lunch each day during the month. Merlino, who operated his own hot dog truck for 6 years, says he's eaten hot dogs grilled, steamed, fried, boiled from areas, businesses, including restaurants, carts, trucks, and boxcar diners.
Hot dogs are slamming.
They are slamming. Everybody's making a big deal out of it. Oh my gosh, that's a lot of hot dogs. But the guy who won the Nathan's hot dog contest ate twice as much as I'll eat in a month in about 15 minutes.
I love footlong.
Merlino said his quest stemmed from his website, thehotdogtruck.com, which highlights locations to find hot dogs in New England. People say New England's not a hot dog country, but there's a real rich tradition of hot dogs in New England and the Boston area.
Sublime.
Yeah, there's a lot of dicks there.
I want a Sublime hot dog.
Oh, man. Have you ever had a Sublime hot dog? They're just so sublime.
And you guys, think about what we're here to do at this point in the competition.
Oh, my goodness.
Was that the girl that screamed? Like when he hit that, because it's either a squeal or a scream.
I think it's a squeal. I don't know what that is.
And you guys, think about what we're here to do
it's
at this point in the competition.
Oh, okay.
Is a great example of what garbage is.
All right, Berkeley County, South Carolina. Berkeley woman will get a jury trial for a ticket she was given by police after they say she displayed big plastic testicles on the back of her pickup truck.
You need to stop being a...
Oh, those. Yeah, I've heard that those truck balls things.
Yeah, truck-ticles.
Truck-ticles. Yeah, they're like, it looks like a ball sack hanging below a pickup.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It really is nasty.
I mean, anybody who would do that is just trash of the highest order.
Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Yeah, I just saw.
Because it's not funny.
It's like, why would I want a ball sack hanging off my car?
Yeah.
It's like, man, because my truck, man, has testicles, you know?
Man, my truck got balls,
it's
man.
It's like, well, I'll kick your truck in the balls. It's whatever, yeah.
If I had the balls, I would cut the balls off the truck if I ever saw them in a parking lot.
Yeah, fix them.
Yeah.
Basically, you...
and then, right, I fixed your truck.
I just neutered your truck, man.
Your truck's
really pushing my buttons, man.
All right,
authorities say Virginia Tice was given a $445 ticket July 5th that accuses her of violating the state's obscene bumper sticker law.
You'll be sorry.
Police Chief Franco Fuda asked for a jury trial, saying questions of obscenity should be determined by community standards. Tice's attorney expects a trial next month. Can you imagine an entire trial? Somebody's got to go to jury duty for a trial about a woman who had big fake testicles on her truck. And then decide whether or not that's obscene.
I know. That's ridiculous. That's funny.
There you go, Berkeley County, South Carolina. It's your tax dollars at work.
I mean, it would be like, hey, I'm going to put giant boobs on my car for my headlights.
Yeah. I'm gonna put those mud flaps with the silhouette of a naked woman on my car. Just really... I want boob headlights.
Why not?
Far apart that no one could really go, oh, those are boobs.
You might have to get pay a large fee, you know?
Yeah, $445. I find that more acceptable. Maybe you could put like bikini on them. You know, some cars have bras on the front. Just like car bra over the boobs. All right, League City, Texas. Now, this is class. A woman was arrested at a strip club Tuesday after her newborn baby was missing. Micah Ashley Alford, 26, from League City, was apprehended on a probation violation at the Ritz Cabaret, where she was applying for a job. Jeez, I wonder what job that is. Galveston County Precinct 8 deputy. Jeez, well, how the hell? I think they meant 8th precinct. But Galveston County deputy constable said they received information that Alford delivered a baby 5 days ago. Jesus. When she ultimately confirmed, deputies say Alford had a warrant out for her arrest because her probation was revoked. They said she failed a drug test when she was 5 months pregnant. When deputies asked Alford where her baby was while she was dancing, she refused to tell them. Shortly after police put out an alert for the baby, two women called saying they had him. They told investigators another woman gave them the baby, and he had no milk or diapers at that time, but they went and bought those items. The women then agreed to meet officers at the academy parking lot. To hand over the infant, who was fine. Officers have been searching for the newborn for 4 days. Records show this is Alford's fourth child.
Oh, my God.
And that the other three were taken away by Child Protection Services.
Jason is rushed to the hospital.
So she's pregnant. She gives birth. She's like, I need to work. I don't got no time for this baby. Here, take the baby. I got to go strip.
You should be responsible enough to care.
She should be responsible.
I bet you she looks really good after, you know, giving birth to a baby or 4 days and then going stripping.
Kid, get me out of here.
This is probably really pleasant.
I think I'd want to see that.
All right. Last story. I always save for the best, you know, best for last. You know, the county fairs are happening. It's the summer. All I know is I want to go to Grays Lake, Illinois because they have monkey jockeys.
Monkey Jockeys.
Monkey Jockeys. Horns blew, music blasted, and the crowd cheered as the Banana Derby racing with America's favorite monkey jockeys was underway at the Lake County Fair. Featuring monkeys riding dogs.
Please.
It is one of the new attractions at the 83rd annual Lake County Fair that started Tuesday at the fairgrounds in Grays Lake, Illinois.
Like a poltergeist.
Okay. Monkeys monkeys are dressed in brightly colored jockey outfits riding dogs around a track in a competition format. Gilligan, Bobo, and Bert were the three Capuchin monkeys that competed for the title.
Oh, those cute little guys.
Yes. Yes. Monkey Shines Monkeys. Phil Hendricks, who calls himself the Top Banana, has been traveling across the United States for 4 years with his wife and daughter putting on the show. I like to watch the monkeys on the dogs. I enjoy seeing it. My show isn't educational, but it's definitely informative.
I'm a simple man.
I'm a simple man. I'm doing it because I believe in entertaining people with the monkeys.
You dig what I'm getting at here?
Me a monkey and a dog, and I can put on a show.
Holy shit, I love them monkeys. Sharing the Banana Derby with Lake County Fair visitors is something Hendricks feels passionate about and hits close to home for him. He grew up in Hinsdale. I have a passion for dogs since my daughter's age. The draw between animal and human is amazing. I have loved dogs since I was young. He added he rescued all four dogs in the show. Oh, wasn't that nice? What about the somebody needs to rescue those damn monkeys? After the Banana Derby ended, a fair goer even shook Hendricks' hand to thank him for rescuing the dogs he uses in the show. Hendricks received the monkeys from his wife's father, who was originally training them for people with disabilities. Oh, so they will turn and kill you eventually. I guess the idea never panned out, and the guy gave the monkeys to this.
How could this happen? I mean, this is horrible.
That new Planet of the Apes movie or whatever, The Rise of the Apes.
Yes.
It's because of stuff like this. You know?
Are you sure?
I have no idea.
What I want to see fire. Is a dog riding a gorilla.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm...
Keira Knightley?
I actually... What? The more I see of the previews of it, the more I want to see the movie.
It actually... It looks entertaining.
At first I was just like, this looks really kind of one-dimensional. But the more I see, like, of John Lithgow's character and stuff like it, it looks interesting.
It looks like it has emotion in it, you know?
Yeah.
But they show the whole movie in the trailer. They show us too much, I think.
No, I don't know. It's possible. I think really all they're showing is the beginning of the uprising.
Right.
I think we get the point. Yeah, it's rise of the
planet. I mean, we know what's going to happen up till then. Like, you know, he brings them in there and the gas and all that stuff. But and I've gotten past the whole CGI ape stuff because it does look really good. It looks good. Mm-hmm.
It looks better once Caesar's fully grown.
Right.
The baby ape looks awkward just because it is. But I like the idea that I'm getting from it, like where the James Franco character actually brings Caesar home and kind of raises it as a child, and Caesar kind of attaches itself to Franco's father, played by John Lithgow.
Right. And I like the shot. There are certain shots in it that look really good from the trailer. And one is when they look up and you see all the apes going from tree to tree.
Yeah.
That looks trippy. And also when the one gorilla throws the giant, it's a giant wrench at a cop car. Yeah. That looks badass. And when the gorilla is jumping to the helicopter, that looks cool.
Yeah, I'll see it. I'm getting more excited about it as time
there's a shot
as it approaches.
And it looks like Draco Malfoy is a total dick in it too.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Because I thought that's who that was, and I was just like, no.
He's going to get his. Mm-hmm. He abuses gorillas. Oh, that's another movie I saw during our break.
He makes them ride dogs.
I saw a zookeeper.
Yeah, that's right.
You poor bastard.
It's awesome.
full of pratfalls and product placement.
Is TGI Fridays as good as it looks?
Shut up.
Oh, it's depressing.
Did Emma at least enjoy it, or did she know it was awful?
Totally. Totally. Okay. Everybody...
Well, that's all that matters.
Yeah, it was fun.
You suffer through stupidity. I just don't get the appeal of Kevin James. It's just, he's just the big pratfall guy.
There's a whole
guy.
Subplot where he loses himself and he becomes a car salesman of sports cars and he loses track of what the zoo and the animals mean to him. That whole subplot, lasts way too long.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like, you should have kept it in the zoo because the kids...
What, he was tired of hearing the animals talk to him?
Well, because, so, you know, he thinks he needs to be successful Leslie Bibb will be interested in him. But the kids are in the audience, the theater, to see the talking animals. So when he's selling his Ferraris and going to clubs with Leslie Bibb and they're going to these pretentious parties and he's supposed to see...
They lost track of what the movie was supposed to be.
Yeah, the kids are just like, I need to go to the lobby or something. You know, it's like, come on, we're the talking animals.
Yeah. It's where they go to the bathroom.
Right.
Jason looked like...
Huh?
Well, that's not very nice. All right, and that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news this week. What do you say we do some DVDs?
All right, let's do them.
Let's do the DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Woohoo! The DVDs! How'd we do?
Sublime.
Oh, thank you, sublime. Rocco.
That's the ultimate compliment from the ultimate douchebag.
It's almost as if robots made this.
Okay.
I don't understand. I don't think he understands how awesome that is.
Yeah, if robots made this, it'd be wicked cool, bro.
Yeah, it's like, can you show me these robots?
No
Can they
idea.
Shake hands?
It's like, what if I told you that we are robots doing this? Pretty cool. No, it's not interesting. Never mind.
Sci-fi awesome.
Sorry.
All right. DVDs and Blu-rays for August 2nd, 2011. Already. Jeez.
I know.
Ooh, time flies when you're not having a whole lot of fun. First off, on Blu-ray, we have a movie that I would have never expected to see on high def, Better Off Dead.
Nice. On Blu-ray?
On Blu-ray. Savage Steve Holland, John Cusack movie.
Yeah, Savage Steve Holland, who now does the Nickelodeon stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah,
he's still kind of in that childlike
he never grew up.
I always really dug this movie. I always liked it more than One Crazy Summer.
$2.
His mom serves Piri-Eri.
It's such a strange French movie. It really is. It the tone of the movie is very off. It's so weird. And it's
the suicide attempt.
I got to tell you, the first time I saw this, I think I even saw it in a movie theater. I wasn't sure about it. I don't even think I thought it was that funny.
The value of this mountain.
I thought some things were funny, like the paper boy, but I was just kind of like, oh, what? But later on, watching it on cable over and over again, I was like, you know, I like this. I thought it was so weird.
It's such an odd combination of like 80s cliches mixed with this really dark tone.
Yeah, very dark humor.
Like the whole skiing thing mixed with...
I can't believe they threw away a perfectly good white boy. And the weird like animated thing.
Yes, the rhino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did that in One Crazy Summer too. Both those movies I like a lot.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, One Crazy Summer is one of those movies that I saw very young and was just like, I don't know what the hell this is, but I like it. Like, it was just so weird. Right. Like, that girl with the satellite dog.
And... yeah. And she slaps the kids in the back
of
the head.
Yeah, don't make those faces. Someone slaps you in the back, your face will stick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then there's scary girls running around with the faces.
Right.
So strange.
Hoops. But they call him that because he sucks at basketball.
Yes. Just such a strange, funny movie. And I always bring it up, the uncle sitting in the room listening to the radio.
Yeah. They're fun.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right. So next, I don't know if these have individually been out on Blu-ray, but I'm going to mention them anyways because I saw them both in the theater in high school, Black Sheep and Tommy Boy on a double feature Blu-ray pack.
All right.
Tommy Boy I like. Black Sheep was painful.
I'm trying to think of which one I've seen.
Black Sheep was the one where the guy from Animal House. Shit. What's
which
his
one
name?
Is Brian Dennehy, his dad?
Brian Dennehy's Tommy Boy. Tommy
okay,
Boy.
I've seen Tommy Boy. Haven't
yeah, and
seen
Black Sheep is his brother is a politician.
He's a politician.
And they try to make him. David Spade takes him to like the country to keep him away from
everything
anybody
he does
and anything.
Keeps screwing up, and it's going to keep yeah. his brother from becoming the mayor,
right?
Or governor yeah. or whatever.
It's pretty painful. It's where they started getting into like goofy pratfalls instead of the relationship thing that was funny in
really?
Tommy Boy.
Which one was the Chris Farley ninja movie?
Beverly Hills Ninja.
Beverly Hills Ninja. Oh god,
I never saw that.
That was bad.
That's pretty painful too.
Wow.
All right. Also, in another two-pack from Paramount Pictures, Coming to America and Trading Places on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that I do that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I always like
to the hospital.
Also on Blu-ray, we have the dual release of Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer.
I'll take the first one, not the second one.
I'll take the first one and the music from the first one.
And Conan the Destroyer coaster set my drink on.
$9.99 special on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to pay $20 for these.
Conan the Destroyer with Grace Jones.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was a very interesting
very
lady.
Attractive woman.
Say what?
Oh, nice. A Blu-ray film I've been looking forward to seeing, Exporting Raymond. This is where the guy who helped create Everybody Loves Raymond gets shipped off to Russia to do a Russian version of Everybody Loves Raymond. And the trailer cracked me up. Because it's just so fish out of water.
So it takes place in Russia?
Yeah, this guy's like this neurotic Hollywood guy, this Phil Rosenthal. He co-created Everybody Loves Raymond. And they ship him off to Russia to do the Russian version of Everybody Loves Raymond. But they don't think Everybody Loves Raymond is funny because it's not Russian.
I don't know
Russian.
If you know this, but I don't speak Russian!
So it's one of those, you know, interesting character fish out of water things, which I always like.
Yeah, good stuff.
And next we have Final Destination in 3D on Blu-ray.
Sublime.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. What I don't understand about these movies is that they always begin with whoever is supposed to die having
yes.
a vision of their death. So they don't get on the plane, they don't do whatever, and whatever.
And, yeah.
Why do they have that vision? Why does death know that some other entity is giving these people visions so they can cheat death? I mean, I want that storyline.
You are asking the wrong person.
I mean, whatever, man.
I've only ever seen
bullshit,
the first two.
Man.
Yeah. It's just, you know, elaborate death traps to see things fall on people
yeah.
or stab.
Yeah.
But it always starts with somebody saying, having a vision of them dying horribly. And then it's like, we got to get out of here. And they do. They avoid death. And then now death is trying to kill them because they should have died then. But how did they have these visions all of a sudden? That part I don't get.
They're psychic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it. All right. The Magnificent Seven on Blu-ray, the 50th anniversary edition.
What is it again?
The Magnificent
Seven.
Oh, They're okay. I wouldn't say they're magnificent.
They're sublime.
They're a sublime seven.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Craig's my Wookiee bitch now.
That's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And apparently Akira Kurosawa really enjoyed this film.
Oh, you know who else enjoyed it?
Keira Knightley?
That's it! She loved it!
One of her favorites. All right, here's a movie I'm mentioning because it was always on cable when I was out of school for the summer, and I hated that it was always on because I was just like, why isn't something else on? And that's The Name of the Rose.
Oh, yes, with Sean Connery.
Yeah, and Christian Slater. It was always on HBO. I always had the worst luck during the summer because I'd want to watch HBO, I'd want to watch a movie or something, and it was either Wimbledon or The Name of the Rose, it seemed like.
Oh, yeah, Wimbledon was the worst.
Oh, man, when Wimbledon came around, you'd turn it on and then just be like, damn it!
It was like, oh, boring.
It was all day.
Greetings and salutations.
Oh, and I had no idea there was a sequel to The Magnificent Seven.
Oh.
The Return of The Magnificent Seven.
I thought it was The Magnificent Ambersons. Oh, wait. But the one thing about The Name of the Rose is those monks, man, they're crazy, aren't they?
Crazy monks.
Seem to have an open door policy for assholes.
Oh, I never knew that.
They're very asshole-y. And next we have Rio on Blu-ray, a kid's film about birds.
Oh, Rio. I saw that in the theater. I loved it.
You said Rio. I'm thinking Blame It on Rio.
So was I.
Blame It on Rio in HD?
I was thinking of the Michael Caine movie, but yeah, awesome. I loved Rio. It's a lot of fun. Good stuff.
It's very colorful.
It is very colorful.
And, oh, it's also in 3D. So if you have good a 3D morning. Set.
I don't. You know, I didn't see it in 3D, but after it was over, I was like, we should have seen this in 3D because there's so many awesome flying sequences and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been great.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And
Blu-ray is a film I watched the other day on demand called Stakeland. And it's an independent feature that actually has The Observer in it.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, hey, look, it was weird seeing him in something else. But it's I don't know
now.
If you would call it a horror film. It's a post-apocalyptic film. And like a vampire virus has... Yeah, I know. It sounds ridiculous. A vampire virus is taking hold on America.
Like a poltergeist.
I don't think he's seen Poltergeist.
And it's like survivors banding together and making their way to...
Sounds
of course,
badass.
They have to make their way to somewhere that's safe, a safe haven called New Eden.
You'll be sorry.
But, you know, it's full of cliches, but it's really good.
I like the way it
sounds. Enjoyed it. It's really well done.
And Stakeland is because you need to stake to kill him?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can't see. There was a lot of really cool things in it. Like, you couldn't just stake them. If you staked them, they could still come back at you. You had to drive it through the spinal cord. So you had to take a hammer to it.
Oh, nice. Like the good old-fashioned vampires. You always needed a hammer and stake.
Yeah, there's all these little things where you have to go the extra measure to really, truly kill them.
Blew my mind.
And there's some cool moments where it's like, what the hell? Because there's kind of like two... There's the people that just want to be safe, and then there's the people that want to watch the world burn, basically. And they make life hell for the people that just want to go on with their lives.
Right.
So I recommend it. It's not great, but it's really interesting and really well done. And for the budget, you know, I guess this was a really, really super low budget, maybe like $1 million, $2 million. And it looks good for the budget. But I enjoyed it.
And the
Stakeland.
And The Observer's in it.
Yeah, and he in a really creepy role.
Nice.
Yeah,
And let me, I'm looking down through the DVDs because there was no more Blu-rays. Jason, I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Nope, that's it. That's DVDs for this week.
Jason is rushed to the hospital.
Oh, no. Good thing the show's over.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You are welcome.
Sublime.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see.
Thank you, Gordon.
Guess he really likes
slow
the show.
Clap.
Seriously?
Go to hell!
All right, everyone. That was episode 242 of Nowhere I'm All Mary. Thank you for listening. Glad to be back. Extra long show for you to listen. Put on your iPod and spend the day listening to us, huh? How about that, Steven? Oh, yeah. Go to nowheremulberry.com. You can find a link to our forum. Join the forum and comment on that. Also, you can send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a voicemail at 1206-202-3491. Join us on the Twitter. Join us on the Facebook. And join us on Google Plus.
with no one.
Yeah, I don't even know how to. I don't even understand Google Plus.
Well, you put. Well, it's basically Facebook, but you put people in your circles. There's like, you can create circles, and there's different circles like friends and acquaintances. And I mean, it's interesting, but it's a little overly complicated. And quite frankly, there's no one on it. Yeah. I think the only person that actually posts on it is Leo Laporte.
See, I think the problem is when I joined Facebook, everyone was on Facebook for like years.
Yeah.
And Twitter. Google Plus, I got in on the ground floor. I need to wait till everyone else is on it, if that even happens. You know, another thing, I feel bad because Heather and Emma got here during the news, and I set up Laura's chair with her headset on it, right? So her headset is plugged in, but Laura couldn't do the show. So Emma came and sat next to us, which is fine, but then she backed up, and she was kind of pushing her back into the mic, and I was trying to tell her, no, sit up, sit up, sit up. It was while you were talking and doing the news. So she misunderstood me. She thought I was telling her to go away, and I wasn't.
Aww.
She got up in tears and ran out of the room, Bill.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I felt like getting up and just running after her. Come here, Emma. Come
you
here.
Should have said, give me a second, and just went and did it.
Come here. Sit down for a second.
We just didn't want you to touch the microphone.
Here, put that on. Can you hear us?
Uh-huh.
Hey.
Hi, Emma.
Hi.
That's Bill. Hey, earlier when I was waving at you, like, Emma, did you think I was saying to go away?
Uh-huh.
I wasn't. I was trying to tell you, watch out, there's a microphone behind you.
Oh.
And you were like, no, and you ran out of the room. I was so sad. I wanted to chase after you and go, no, Emma, come back. How much did you cry after that?
Just a medium.
Medium cry?
Medium cry.
We weren't mad.
What did your mom tell you?
We were just...
Big ass jerk.
No, Mom!
Hey! I wasn't telling her to go away. I was telling her to watch out. There's a microphone behind you.
No, you're like, go away!
He wasn't.
Thank you for defending me, Emma. But welcome to the show, Emma.
Hi.
Do you want to say hi to all the Nora Mulberry listeners?
What?
Say hi, everybody.
Do you even know what we're doing right now?
Daddy, you don't have any listeners.
Emma, did you know for the intro to the show tonight, I played the theme song to Power Rangers in Space?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I did. Is that cool?
Yes. Can you play it?
Can I play it now?
Uh-huh.
Well, I already, let's see. Yeah, I can play it for you.
Yay.
Let's play this for Emma before we leave the show. Okay, guys?
All right.
Power Rangers in Space theme. Let's see if I can find it. I know I still have it on here. Here we go. I don't know how loud this is going to be.
10, 9, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This song is rocking.
Wait,
where are they? Is this the long version? This is a 12-inch single? Where are they at? Go, fly!
In space!
I love it. Drinking Tang!
Did they hire the Bravo guy for that song?
In space.
What?
On Bravo. You're right, it is.
What?
All right, everybody, that was the show. Everybody, we'll see you next week, okay?
Bye.
Have a good one.
Get the hell out of here.
Out. Get out. Out of here. Get out. I don't want to talk to you. Get out of here.
Come over there and throw you out of here.
Now this is podcasting.
Seriously?
You'll be sorry.
Lies.
Oh my god.
So, what's up with you guys, huh?
Go to hell!
You need to stop being a...
Because that's how I feel.
This is bullshit, man.
Really pushing my buttons, man.
But that's not the kind of friend I want to have.
How's that make you feel?
Sublime.
I'm gonna get you. I'm not playing with time.